Camelot.
Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines and all the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bat in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It's a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Sir the Turbo. All rise for King Sir the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Table. everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. And we'll make more if necessary if we get enough people, too many people in there, whatever. Also, while you're on the Super Chat, you can scroll down there right underneath all the chat rooms. There's a link for People for People Radio Network. They got room over there in their chat room as well. So go there and tell them wonderful folks we said hi and old crazy here Chaziz sent you. So anyway, I want to start off first by saying that don't get me wrong by today's show. I love the whole world, but today I'm just kind of scared for America. I've kind of been scared for America for many years because there's a lot of things going on in the world and trying to weed through all the craziness and propaganda and all that crazy stuff, but it's a little bit more to that. So I want to start off with playing just a little bit of Pod right here. Why America's always at war.
The United States has been almost constantly at war since Vietnam. America is currently in six different wars, all of which are in the Middle East. About 1.4 million Americans served the U.S. military and risked their lives to protect our freedoms and keep us safe, and we thank them for it daily. For over a century now, the world has become more and more of a globalist and interventionist society. In other words, don't just worry about problems at home, worry about problems outside of home as well. But why? Why is America always at war? It's called the military-industrial complex. The term was coined by Republican President Dwight D. Eisenhower in his farewell address.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
But what is this ever-influential military-industrial complex referred to? He was referring to the coalition of the U.S. military and its industry, the defense industry. The government doesn't manufacture weapons. Companies do. In the 2017 fiscal year, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and General Dynamics were the top three contractors of the federal government. You can see the link to the top 100 in the description. These companies manufacture cargo planes, helicopters, fighter jets, cruise missiles, and more for the U.S. military. Lockheed Martin alone received 10% of the Defense Department's budget, and the top three combined receiving $90 billion from the government. At least 85% of Lockheed Martin's profits come from government contracts. They and all the other defense companies rely on the government to keep their business afloat. More specifically, they rely on the government being at war, so they have to influence the government to keep it that way. Groups that influence the government are known as interest groups, and the defense industry is an interest group. The ultimate goal of an interest group is to create an iron triangle. An iron triangle is created when the interest group and the bureaucracy are getting mutual benefits. In our case, the defense industry is benefited by getting their money, and the defense department or the bureaucracy is benefited by getting their weapons. But what is the third vertex of the triangle? Congress. In order for the bureaucracy to spend money, Congress must allow the money to spend. So, the defense industry must influence Congress. One of the biggest ways of doing this is campaign contributions. The defense industry has many PACs, or political action committees, that donate money to congressional, senatorial, and even presidential campaigns. In the 2016 congressional election, Lockheed Martin contributed a total of $1.2 million to Democratic candidates and $1.9 million to Republican candidates. The Clinton presidential campaign received $150,000 from Lockheed Martin PACs, and the Trump campaign $43,000. With the military-industrial complex, the defense industry contributes money to congressional campaigns, which gives Congress incentive to declare war and allot funds to the Defense Department, who buys weapons from the defense industry. This iron triangle may be the strongest one there is. But is it a good thing or a bad thing? There are both pros and cons to the military-industrial complex. One positive aspect is the technology that's come out of it. Transistors were not profitable prior to the military's purchase of them. Transistors would come to replace cathode ray tubes, which would create modern computers and personal technology. Without it, we'd live in a world of 1950s technology. Another benefit is innovation. The military will only continue to buy technology if it continues to be innovative. The same way you'll only buy a phone if it's better than the one you already have.
iPhone 3G,
iPhone 4,
iPhone 5,
iPhone 6,
iPhone 7.
This also creates jobs in the engineering field, which is great for the economy. There are many cons as well. First and foremost are the lives of soldiers. Nearly 60,000 American soldiers have lost their lives in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The ethics of lobbying are also questionable. Critics say it's a form of bribery or even extortion. The national debt is also a huge concern. The U.S. is $21 trillion in debt as of the making of this video, with about $700 billion going to the military each year. Whether this is a good or a bad thing is up for you to decide, but the defense industry can easily overcharge the government because of the Iron Triangle. The revolving door effect is also an issue. Dick Cheney was the Secretary of Defense under President George H.W. Bush.
And for that reason, I will not say anything tonight about the operation that is currently underway.
And then became CEO of Halliburton, an oil company, in 1995.
When he ran for vice president on a ticket with George W. Bush, he retired from Halliburton.
Then, during his tenure as vice president, Halliburton was given a $7 billion contract before the Iraq War.
John, keeping in mind that Halliburton is a major contributor to the Republican campaign and that Vice President Cheney is its former CEO, this move by the government is extremely...
Steven?
Hold on a second, John.
This is why it's called a revolving door. And that is the Iron Triangle of the military-industrial complex. Some people say there's a fourth vertex, an iron quadrilateral, with the fourth part being the media. They say that the media promotes militarism, and since it's a bipartisan opinion, it applies to all networks. Until 2011, General Electric was the parent company of NBC. General Electric also happens to be a subcontractor for Tomahawk missiles and B-52 bombers, which are both heavily used in the military. The organization known as FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, noted that, quote, when correspondents and paid consultants on NBC television praised the performance of U.S. weapons, they were extolling equipment made by GE, the corporation that pays their salaries, end quote. Also, leading up to the Iraq War in 2003, MSNBC canceled their top-rated show, Donahue, hosted by Phil Donahue. Donahue would publicly speak out against the war on the show frequently, which leaks after the fact confirmed was the reason for the cancellation.
You know, Donahue's anti-war stance is just not going to be very good for us against the flag-waving on the other station.
To conclude, whether the military-industrial complex is a good thing or not is up for you to decide, but it is the reason why America is always at war. Thanks for watching. See you in the next one.
Okay, so with that said, I got one other small podcast. I was going to play three of them, but one of them's lengthy, and it's kind of like redundant because most of the folks listening in, they know the things that are going on in the world and America in general, and they know all the different controversies, all the different sides being taken and crimes being committed and all that kind of stuff. But I want to play this next short one because it's just your average Joe out there that's kind of like, you know, alternative media type YouTube channel. But some of the things that he said, it resonates with a lot of the different things that I hear around in my own general area where I interact with other people and words coming out of their mouth and, you know, what things that they prepare for and all that kind of stuff. And because of the particular lifestyle that I've actually led and a few things that I've seen, I don't know whether you want to call it a vision or whatever, of, you know, potential future events, it really concerns me that we could literally be standing on the edge of something that just it's unthinkable. But I want to go ahead and play this because a lot of the American men, you know, for the most part, and I'm not trying to exclude women in this particular deal, but a lot of the American men are really on edge and frustrated about a lot of things that are going on, you know, there was a time when a man was a man and such, you know, and nowadays, you know, you can't even express your manlyhood or whatever, you know. It's just, listen to what this guy says here for a second.
Hey guys, Kevin here. So last night I was on this show called the Verbose Tempestus program on the Heel Turn Network. Everybody check them out. And we started talking about something that really gave me a realization. We were talking about something I talk a lot about on this channel, which is the developing civil war in this country, how the culture war is turning into a civil war. And it's something we've seen throughout history. Anytime there's cultural clashes like the ones we're having right now in this country, it always ends up developing into some sort of conflict. Now, I said, maybe I'm a little black-pilled. And the co-host Rory said, well, there's nothing wrong with being black-pilled. And I realized he's exactly right. We need to be black-pilled, okay? We're not going to red-pill anybody else. We've reached some people that maybe went vote Republican before, like the walk-away crowd, but they're not really in this fight, okay? So we've maximized red-pilling as far as I'm concerned. It is now time to start black-pilling people because America cannot be saved. So today I want to dedicate this video to those guys over at Verbose Tempestus and to blackpilling people on the civil war that's coming. Now, the first thing I will say is that Trump cannot save us. Okay, God bless Trump, but, you know, he's the best president I've had in my lifetime, but that's not saying a lot. Okay, he's failed on a few things that we wish he would be better at. He's done some good things, like recently withdrawing troops from Syria. And I gotta say this, you know, Trump may not even last to run for another election because right now he's messing with their money. And when I say their money, you know who I'm talking about. Trump is withdrawing troops. He is trying to get out of these wars. He's shut down the government. And they, you know who they are, right? Yeah, the owners, the people who own us, they make their money through wars. They make their money off of our big, bloated, disgusting government. And so Trump's messing with their money. So I wouldn't be surprised if Trump doesn't last until 2020. You know, they're going to go after him hard. And that's a situation that might bring us into civil conflict. But yeah, Trump did everything he could, and his saving grace may be the fact that he put in Supreme Court justices that were conservative. And the way that might help us is if we get in a situation later on where we have the left trying to punish us, because elections after 2020, we will not win them anymore. Okay, we've reached the demographic cliff. The people the left have imported into this country are never going to become majority conservative. We've reached that demographic cliff. Okay, the left control all of the media, all of the propaganda outlets. They continue to censor people like me and everybody else on the right. So we're not going to have our voices out there. And we will continue to lose elections after 2020. There's just no way around it. So we have no democratic voice anymore. So that's a perfect reason right there to start thinking about alternative actions. Now, the one saving grace with the Supreme Court is that if we do get to a situation where the left come for our guns, where they come for our liberties, the Supreme Court might stand as a roadblock. But the left will just keep trying to chip away with incrementalism like they always do. So, not much of a roadblock, but let's say states decide they want to secede, maybe the Supreme Court will rule that they can without the military being deployed against those states. So that might be a saving grace of having Trump as a president. Now, you may think I'm being hyperbolic, and you may believe there are ways we can save this country and avoid a civil conflict. But I will ask you this. Go back throughout history and look at the reasons why countries and peoples have entered into civil wars before. There have been several major reasons that reoccurred throughout history. One, a clash of culture. We are seeing that right now in the United States. Also, the cultural decline. Secondly, you have the rise of Marxism that's been responsible for several civil conflicts over the past 100 years. And Marxists are responsible for a lot of the chaos we're seeing right now in the United States. Third, economic turmoil. The destruction of the middle class. We've been seeing that for 30 years now in the United States. Sure, the stock market's booming, but overall, people don't feel like the economy is doing well. And Trump's done what he can, but again, the mess he inherited has been building for the past 30 years. So he was never going to fix that. Finally, you have a situation where a group of people, in this case, a group of people who have had power, who have done well, who have roots in this country that have been sown for the past 200 years or more, those people are under constant attack. Anytime you have a large percentage of the population under attack from another percentage of the population that's sizable, you will have a civil conflict. It's inevitable. And that's happening right now in America. And I'm not just talking about white people, I'm talking about right-wingers in general. We no longer have the ability to have a democratic voice. That has been robbed of us. Because the powers that be have convinced people that everybody should vote. No matter how stupid they are, no matter how just completely useless they are, they've convinced us that we are a democracy and everybody should have that right to vote. And anytime you have an organization and you bring in the worst people into your organization, that organization will fail. And they will vote against our best interests. They will only vote for the quick, instant gratification, which will be welfare or other social programs that will put us further in debt and hurt this country. Now, they've taken away our democratic voice. We will no longer have a voice democratically in this country. That's just the writing on the wall. On top of that, they are trying to take away our voice in our institutions. Try to get a job as a right-winger in a university. Try to get a job as a right-winger in any institution that influences people. Media, academia, the major corporations. They've all been completely taken over by the social justice crowd. And we are never going to get that back because they have created these nepotistic strongholds. We are seeing kids right now being punished at school for having conservative Christian values that were mainstream only 10 years ago. So when you take away somebody's ability to control their own destiny, when you take away their democratic voice, when you take away their voice like they are right now censoring conservatives, people will start to put down their pens, put down their microphones, and they will find something else to pick up. And it may be an AR-15 rifle. So for those people living in cognitive dissonance, or those of you who just want to remain hopeful because that's how you are, there's no hope, guys. Even if you could miraculously turn everything around, the culture, all of the stuff we've seen over the past few decades, just rewind it all back, it wouldn't matter because we have $20 trillion in national debt. And when that debt comes due and Congress can't vote to raise the debt ceiling any higher, like they do right now, every few months voting to raise the debt ceiling so they can put off the inevitable and fleece this country for a few more months. When that happens, one of two things is going to happen. Either austerity or a dramatic raise in taxes. And if austerity happens, people will riot because most people in America right now can't even sustain a debt of over $1,000. They're addicted to welfare. So what's going to happen to those people when that all gets cut off? The other option is raise taxes. Democrats always say, oh, I don't mind paying more taxes if it pays for schools and roads and social programs. Except when they have to put their money where their mouth is, like they did in France, they put on yellow vests and start to riot. And unlike France, Americans have guns and we have a gangster culture. So those yellow vest riots in France, that's nothing. Just wait till that happens here. So yeah, I'm black-pilled and you should be black-pilled too. Because it's liberating. You know, we are backed into a corner. And Sun Tzu said, the most dangerous enemy is the one backed into a corner. So if everybody starts to get blackpilled and they realize this, then we can become dangerous. And I don't mean we should be out in the streets shooting up the place, but at least we can have the courage at that point, be liberated enough to put our jobs on the line. When we realize we have nothing else to lose, then the jobs don't seem that significant, do they? Neither does our social standing or anything else that the left can try to take away from us. Anyway, guys, I'm out. Like and subscribe to the channel. You can donate to the channel on Patreon at patreon.com/HailHydra. And share the video. I'll see you.
So, pretty much that's the consensus of just about every man that I've ever talked to in my general circle, the neighborhoods that I go around. And folks, if the average Joe and Jane that spends all the time on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, or playing these nifty little games, or you know, the social medias with their little iPhones, and they got their little social circle, and life is just going along, and they just tolerate things, they go along to get along, just to try to, you know, have some peace and raise a family and all that kind of stuff. If they had seen and been places that myself personally have been, and witnessed and heard the things that I have had the displeasure of hearing in my lifetime, they would be scared for America as well. Because the things that and the places and the people that I'm talking about, and I'm trying to be kind of elusive, because I don't want to come out with some sort of, you know, graphic scare, fear-mongering kind of thing, but there's people in this world that it would just blow your mind at their mindset, the things that they talk about, the things that to them would be, you know, exciting or adventurous, or, you know, basically looking forward to an all-out civil war. And the fact that these particular people are ready. They're armed. They're ready. They are ready for serious civil war armed conflict. And to hear these individuals say some of the things that they do, and knowing some of the mindsets and the targets that they speak about, it's terrifying. You know, I love the world. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to put this thing out for sympathy for America, because I understand America's been involved in some things throughout history. And all these soldiers, I feel for these soldiers, these veterans out there. I've seen the damage that's done via war. I've seen the damage that is done via a person's life, an entire person's life, going from some loving child to a wonderful, you know, young child, teenager, or whatever, all the way up until the day they're indoctrinated into the military, and then they go through the training and they come back out a completely different person just out of boot camp alone. Not even to the extent where you actually have stood on a battlefield and had to take another life. Just that experience of the process of becoming a man and being trained by the military industrial complex how to be a fighting machine, you know, a part of the team. And patriotism's been something that has been instilled in every man in the United States. Every man that you know, had a father that was in the military, or a father that was a firefighter or a police officer, or, you know, or whatever. And as we're growing up, we're told to, you know, have love for God and country, and we're told to love our family, and we're told to you know, the difference between right and wrong, and about the scales of justice and such. And so as a man living in America, I feel obligated to take care of my country. I feel obligated to take care of my family. I feel obligated to, you know, be blessed by, you know, all the gifts from God and such. And so there's a mindset in just about every man of my age that we had been raised to believe in things. That we had some sort of moral standing or something. It's really hard to say. When you try to put the words out to the modern society, it's almost impossible to get them to understand what the average man such as myself would feel like. What they're thinking in their mind. To see the things that are going on out there, to see the scales of justice off balance. Those who should be in jail are not in jail. Those who shouldn't be in jail are going to jail, and those who shouldn't be suppressed have been suppressed, and so on. You could just go on and on with all the different propagandas and everything that has been piled out there. And from a man of my point of view, raised in the type of family that I've been raised in, it's torment to watch as your nation falls before your very eyes. And so there are men out there such as myself. I'm a peace-loving man. But I'm not going to stand idly by as my country's destroyed. I'm not going to stand idly by as my family's rounded up or murdered. I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight, because that's what had been instilled in me all my life. And as I listen to individuals out there and I hear their frustration, they're getting angry, they're getting madder by the minute, because these things that are being shoved at them left and right are contrary to years and years of upbringing from their parents and their grandparents, their aunts and uncles. Days whenever a man would open a door for a woman and the woman wouldn't be offended by that. It was a way to show respect. Days that a man would help an elderly couple across the street. Days that a man would use respectful language or keep a promise or a deal when he gave his word to help somebody out. Days when a man was a man, according to the way that I was raised. Now, I know that modern society has changed and things aren't... they're not what they used to be. They always try to say, no matter what year it is, well, it's 2019 now. We've got past all that. If a man decides he wants to be a woman, that's okay. Well, in your own personal life, I suppose it is all right. But when it comes to you not understanding that a generation was raised in a certain fashion and you're just trying to try to go against every single thing that they believe in. Back during the Vietnam War, they sent soldiers off to war, and most of these soldiers, they didn't have a choice whether or not to go. There was a draft in place, and they actually were drafted into the military. Some ran off to Canada so that they could avoid the draft, and others didn't. Others went to war. And they went to war as patriots for their nation, and they got spit upon when they came back, and they were called terrible things, baby killers, rapists, and so much. So much. And even to the extent of the modern day wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and all the different wars that you heard about in the Middle East and things that are going on right now, men kept coming back with missing limbs and traumatic brain injuries and so much more. So much. My heart bleeds for every patriot that ever, under the belief that he was fighting for God and family and country, that he sacrificed his life quite literally. 60,000 people is what that one podcast said. 60,000 men lost their lives in the Middle East fighting for a war. Now, I want that to absorb in for a second. 60,000 men. That's 60,000 fathers, 60,000 sons, 60,000 American men who believed that they were fighting for something that was a worthy cause, to equal out the scales of justice, to ensure freedom. And for what? So some military industrial complex could make more money? So that governments could keep their power in place? It's even hard to talk about. But the thing that gets me the most is when the man said there's no hope. And I always believe, and I refuse to not believe, that there's always hope. You know, it's quite a rude saying, but they say people have always said it's never even over till the fat lady sings, you know, the opera singer, and, you know, apologize for that, but it hits my brain all the time. And even in my book of faith, where it says that no man would know the day or the hour that he would come like a thief in the night, which basically told me you never know when you're going to die, you never know when the end's coming or doomsday or anything like that. And I know that all over this world, that there are other countries out there that have experienced the same thing. Our allies who were in the war, you know, Britain or France or any of the Russians or whatever, you know, any nation out there that had sent their children to war. But I'm just speaking from America, because as America being sort of like this, for whatever purpose, last beacon of hope for freedom and, you know, the great so-called melting pot of the world, now turned into quite literally the military industrial complex or the world police. And, you know, if you actually look into the hearts and minds of the American man, that men are under excruciating attack. And if you think that, you know, that men don't have feelings, and you think that men aren't concerned about their own life and safety and their well-being or their families or their country, men are stressed way farther than you can possibly imagine. And you can only stretch a rubber band so far before it finally snaps. And there's going to come a day when, like the man said, you back these people into the corner. And there is no other way. If we can't get through to you as men of America, and our only option, by God, we're going to come right through you. I don't want to see that. I don't ever want to see what I saw in my mind. Because there will be no winner in a second civil war here in the United States of America. There are people out there who want us to go to war with one another. There are people who pit us against each other by race and creed and color and gender and so on. You know the stories. You've heard them many times. Guys like George Soros who brag about destabilizing nations. Those folks, the bankers, the military industrial complex that use everybody out here, like the man in one podcast said, they want to use you as cannon fodder, so that you can do the king's bidding. I don't want you to do the king's bidding. I want you to do the people's bidding. They can't fight a war when nobody decides to show up. They're going to try to put America in the middle of a civil war. And inadvertently, as this man saying, that there ain't no hope, there ain't no way to fix it, we're just too far gone, more or less. I've even heard it from Christians that quote Revelations, the things that would occur in the last days. And man, I'll tell you what Paul Harvey said, what Revelation said, what this man on the podcast said, what the news media is telling everybody. As a man raised in the manner that I have, to respect my mother and my father, to love my family, to love my country, and be thankful to the Almighty God for all the blessings, if I feel the way that I do in my heart, and I have a soft side in there that tells me that, you know, I don't want these things to happen, imagine what the hardened man is thinking right now. The hardened man might be looking at folks as a target. The hardened man is the guy that says he don't care about preparing for things, that whenever all heck breaks loose, he's just going to go out and take what he wants. And if you'd have stood in some of the crowds that I've seen in my lifetime, and if you'd have heard the things that I heard, you as an individual might set your iPhone down for a second. And you might take a look around you at a society, and you might decide that it's time that maybe you spoke up and said something to help this world, to try to steer America in any other direction but the way that it's going. If we ever go down that road, I'm so scared for America, but I'm also scared for the world. Because when nobody has the power to fight back, then the notorious they become the winners. It's just food for thought, people. Barbara, are you around?
Well, I'm around. Hey, everybody out there in this world, all listeners here, People for People, and the round table, and everyone out there. So many things that I'm feeling and going through my mind as I hear you speaking, Jesus, and I know your heart, you know, I feel that too. And I think we should be worried about our country. And I certainly agree. It's not just this country, it's about the whole world. You know, it's about the people. I call them our brothers and sisters, you know, of all nations, black, red, yellow, and white. And now the brown people, you know, coming through, being born. It just feels like nothing has changed. I feel like, you know, I've often joked about, but I'm serious, too. Sometimes when I joke, I'm very serious. And the seriousness of that nothing has changed for humanity, meaning there have always been the elite, you know, right across the board. I think we know who they are, and there's always been the elite, but the kings and queens, I call them, and then the serfs. So nothing has changed in my estimation. The people are still the serfs. You may think that you live in a free country or it's democracy. I don't care what you think. They have set it up. They've done a good job, basically, manipulating the minds of the people for generations, actually, to do their bidding. So nothing has changed in that way. We easily go to war because they tell us we must go to war for various reasons and so on. But, of course, people believe that, what they're telling us. But what's behind it, as you say, is that military-industrial complex. And there's a lot of money involved. And, you know, I have this link here. You know, I popped it into the chat and I gave it to you, a couple of links, but one of the title here is The Millionaires in Congress Don't Care About Sending Your Son or Your Daughter to War. And it's always been that way. You know, you have these people in these positions, political positions, and various other elite millionaires. They don't volunteer. Their sons and daughters don't volunteer. It's the people, you know, like, who have been indoctrinated that we are patriots. We must save our country. You know, we must go to war in another part of the world that we don't even know who those people are or why we're going to war. We're told why we're going to war by the millionaires by the elite. And dumbly, and, you know, and like sheeple, everybody just follows suit, you know, and they give you candy. Well, it looks like candy. You know, like they dangle a carrot in front of you. Many, many words and patriotism and rah, 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 and rally people up and so on. This has been going on since, I don't even know, a long, long time ago. The kings and queens in our country, you know, there's percentages of their children who have gone to war. And believe me, the percentages are very tiny. You know, I guess Mitt Romney had like five sons, and none of them ever went to enlisted, you know, and it goes down the line. I'm not going to bother naming them. But this is, there's statistics here about this. And if they do, of course, you know, you have these elite people, their sons or their daughters go into military school, like West Point, for instance, to become officers. You know, that's the positions they take. They're not the grunts. You know, they're not the ones who go out there and are traumatized. They're not the ones who get the you know, I guess the, well, what you call the indoctrination of how to be a killer. Because that's what it is. How to murder. How to kill some other young boy or people in a village. You know, how easily. It becomes a nightmare. Because you are in a circumstance that you have never been in before, and you've been indoctrinated and brainwashed to kill, period. So you see everyone as the enemy, especially the color of their skin or what they're wearing. And yeah, I have heard of the atrocities. I have heard of various atrocities throughout war, of the things from the time of the beginning, the Crusades. You can read all about the atrocities. What happens to a man when he's in that position with a weapon? And he's been told what he's fighting for. What happens to the mind of a human being, of a young person? It's a matter of life and death, yes. And the basically the imprint is kill before being killed. Everybody becomes the enemy, even a boy, even a little girl. Because after all, they could be the enemy. Well, they are the enemy, but they could kill you. I mean, what happens to these young men over in Vietnam? You know, I read about the atrocities that occurred. I read about various things that on both sides throughout history, throughout our history. What brings people, human beings, to the point of insanity, of cruelty beyond our imagining. But the millionaires in Congress, they don't give a crap. You know, you get a flag, well, as a mother, you know, or a father, you'll get a folded flag. It's a big pomp and circumstance ordeal when they bring home your child in a casket. If they bring home your child in a casket. It's a big pomp and circumstance, you know. It's amazing. Yeah, they have the 21-gun salute, and there's all these people there. The suits are there. The military shows up, and they're all doing their little dance, you know. And they should give this 21-gun salute, and you are there, the mother. Or the father, or the grandparents, you're there in such sorrow. Ah, but the government, look what they're doing for you. They're giving you a folded flag and a 21-gun salute. Then they go home to their castles, and where do you go? You go home to the empty house, of empty bedroom, where your son or your daughter grew up. Or that's where you go home to. And you try to get back to life. You try to heal. You try to make what happened to your child okay, because after all, you're patriots. This is for our government, for our life, for this land. Oh, whatever. Where do they go? They go back to their castle and continue their plan for the next war and make sure their sons and their daughters are very safe. So, to me, we see now what's going on. Yeah, it's getting pretty insane. I've said this before. We see the behaviors just of your the common people. You know, I look at stuff what's going on and the level of depravity, the level of violence, the horrors of what people are doing here. They're not even in war, but they're in the war of their mind and their soul and their spirit, you see. This is what it's come to. Like you said, you push people to the corner. Well, it's like anything that gets cornered will viciously go insane to survive. And in the meanwhile, there's children in the way, partners in the way, friends in the way, strangers in the way of that person who is completely insane, stuck in that corner in order to survive acts of depravity and horror. That's what I see going on in this country. I know it's happening in the world too. So, and they don't care. Again, the millionaires, the elite, they don't even read about these incidents. They don't give a crap. They're up there in their castle with their fat, whatever it is, fat. They are using us, our children, our grandchildren, and they have from the beginning of time, kings and queens on the hill, the serfs beneath in the valley, working the land for the kings and queens, going to war for the kings and queens, you know, garnering a small plot, garnering a small carrot, garnering a small potato for their families, while the elite, the kings and queens, rake up the billions and billions of dollars. Today, in this time, we still have a queen and kings and princes and princesses and dukes and duchesses and all that crap. You think it's only over there on the other side? No, it's right here in this country, the United States. Kings and queens, duchesses and dukes and all this other crap. And you know, I'm sick and tired, frankly. Aren't you? I'm looking at, you know, I look at stuff, see what's going on in the world. Guess what? It's Meghan and Harry and this prince and that prince and, you know, what she wore, what she didn't wear, how much it cost and what high heels she was wearing and what he was doing and how they're holding hands or they're not holding hands or how this one is, you know, Meghan is dissing her dad and her dad is this and her. This is what's in the news. Or, well, it used to be the Kardashians. I suppose they're still up there, the Kardashians, on the big news front. What's going on with the Kardashians? What's going on with this one? The movie stars. Oh, who's sleeping with who? Who's not sleeping with who? Oh, Bezos or Bezos, whatever, Bobo, whatever the heck his name is. Bezos now has a girlfriend who he's cheated on his wife and, oh, I mean, it's laughable. But pitiful that this is the mainstream media deliberately pushing this garbage on us while everything else around us, the perimeter, is unfolding without our even knowing it. So you have Syria, you have Israel, you have Palestine, you have Iraq, you have Iran, you have Afghanistan, you have serious stuff going over on there. In that area, but you know what? It's going to involve us. Of course it involves us. Everything involves us because we've got our hands in everything. And that's the other thing. It's like, you know, it's this controlling machine. The war machine is a controlling machine. It's not just here on your home front. It's all spread out all over the world. Those elite, those millionaires just can't help themselves. They need more and more and more. And more. And they will always need more and more and more because we've put them in those positions, you see. We are responsible to some because we trust. We have trust them because we grew up that way. Our parents, our grandparents said, this is America. We trust our people. They are good people. I've had people tell me, close people to me, oh, our government would never do that. You know, when weapons of mass destruction were being touted by our president and all his monkeys, I said to a few people, there are no weapons of mass destruction. Now, I don't have to explain how I knew that. I'm not a Secret Service person. I just had this instinct. There's something, an instinct. And I've had that all my life. My instincts told me, there's something fishy here. There are no weapons of mass destruction. And I was lambasted. I was attacked. Oh, our government wouldn't lie to us. Our government would never do that. And down the line, down the list, World War II, you know, what happened? Yeah, why did we go to war? Yeah, oh, I mean, well, You have to do your research. I've been finding out a lot about the history, the lies of the history. When we say we've been lied to about the history, it's deeper than you could ever imagine. It's pretty stunning. It's shocking, but we have to wake up because, okay, so you're going to get shocked. You're going to get spun around. Well, you know, that's not a good feeling, is it? But if we don't wake up to what they have been doing to us, this plan that has been on and on and on for millennia, if we don't wake up, well, we're just going to continue in the same pattern, aren't we? They are the millionaires. They are the ones in Congress. They are the ones behind the scenes. They are pulling the strings. They don't give a crap about us. They don't care about your son or your daughter that came back in a body bag, or you sitting out there in your little house trying to pull yourself together with your family. You will never forget your child. They've already forgot your child even before he, you know, arrived on these shores back in a body bag or whatever. As soon as they sent them off, they got to have numbers. They don't even care. This is dark to me. This is evil to me.
In their mind, that ain't a person. It's just another number. It's just another soldier, you know. And they want to tell you that your soldier, he was valiant and he died saving somebody, or he was a hero or whatever. Folks, my generation and the generations after, they're so polar opposite that it's mind-blowing. I want to go slightly off-subject for a second, but I want to tell you something that it's just one of many different things that if you look out there into this world, especially here in this great maze we call the Matrix or the Internet, that there's all kinds of different lifestyles and belief systems and things. But there's something that I see that probably never would have been contemplated by somebody of my generation. It just doesn't make any sense why people would do things to themselves to, you know, create harm or to, for this particular purpose, get some sort of massive adrenaline rush that's supposedly better than any drug and brings you to some sort of enlightenment spiritually or whatever. There's a process that they call suspension where they basically take their body and they run these body piercings through there, and they hook them up to hooks, and they hang themselves from these hooks, and they basically suspend it in air. And it, to me, it doesn't seem like it would be something that would be even remotely pleasant, you know, not even for any purpose to, you know, feel good for a period of time. But it's just one of the tiny examples that I'm trying to lay out there on the table to show that there is a problem going on out here among our youth, that the things that they think about are not what the things that people of my age, my generation, ever thought about. Now, I know that throughout history, there's always been, like when I was a kid, I could hear the old folks talking about loud rock and roll and how the kids didn't have no respect and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, gauging from what I see now as opposed to what I see then, we had a whole lot more respect for our elders than they gave us credit for. However, you know, my generation basically was the peace and love generation, where when we come down, we weren't gonna make our kids do certain things. We weren't going to, you know, if they wanted to make choices, we were gonna allow them to make their own choices and stuff. And then at some point in the deal, you know, it just without the proper guidance, our children just kind of try to take it to the extreme. Every single generation after that would try to push the limits, the louder rock and roll, or the crazier prank, or the crazier act, or anything to get attention. Their 15 minutes of fame, like we talked about on one show, one particular individual shot himself in the face with a bottle rocket, you know, for attention, while all his friends stand around and one of them videotaping it. Why wasn't they telling him, don't do that, it's not a good thing, and it's going to hurt terribly, you might even blind yourself or whatever? Why didn't common sense take over? I actually had my own son talk about this suspension thing, and that's one of the reasons why I brought it up, because it hits right home. I ask him, boy, have you lost your mind? What in tarnation are you thinking? Why would you even contemplate on that? To my knowledge, he hasn't done it. But the mere fact that he mentioned it, where did he get this idea from to begin with? If you go out there and watch the mainstream media and the movies, you know, Hollywood glamorizes war. They glamorize everything. Things that were, in my generation, pretty much not tolerated. Things that are said on radio today, they were never said on radio back then. There used to be some sort of moral standard. There might be a child listening, or, you know, or an elderly lady who wasn't raised up to be listening to all that trash. Now, I know there's people out there that talk about, you know, not censoring people and allowing people to say whatever it is that they feel anytime they feel it. You know, it's all freedom and all this kind of stuff. But where do we draw the line? When you got children in doggone libraries dressing up in drag that aren't even old enough to, you know, really make a decision for themselves, and then you have adults around that are watching this child do things that would normally be called lewd or obscene, you know, and then you got basically the parents there standing behind saying, you know, we support our child's journey or whatever, you know. And some folks think that this is social justice and let everybody do what everybody wants to do. But at what point? At what point do you draw the line? What is too young to be learning certain subjects? What is too young to be impressionable? As far as, you know, when it's okay for a child to make a grown-up decision and do crazy things. Are our preschoolers going to be practicing suspension where now they're hanging from things with fish hooks to get, you know, an adrenaline rush? Is this the future of all humanity? Now, when I watch little children playing army men, it always dawns on me that little child doesn't even realize what the true meaning of war is and what it actually entails to actually take a human life from another. And to me, I find it disturbing because, you know, granted, when I was a child, I grew up playing cowboys and Indians and army man and policeman and all that kind of stuff. And I learned a lot of stuff from the media that I probably shouldn't have learned, you know? The things that right now would be, you know, considered offensive to the Native Americans, you know? The things that they showed on TV. I understand. I get all that now. I've had time to grow up. I've had time to gather wisdom. But this isn't something that has been just started today. What Paul Harvey said back in 1965, it sounded like a plan to me. It sounded like, you know, a plan that if it was a devil, that's exactly what the devil would do. To tear apart our families, to tear apart marriage, to tear apart anything to do with reality and science and respect for one another. They don't mind sending us to war because it's profitable. Many of them will tell you that right in front of your face as a patriot. They'll tell you war is profitable. Nicolas Cage in the movie, I can't even remember the name of the movie now, but he was something about war or whatever. He was selling guns to both sides, both armies. He was selling guns to both sides. Didn't care who was fighting. As long as somebody was fighting, he was getting rich. It's got to be at some point, lessons to be learned by society, and my fear is that the fact that people are so incredibly distracted these days that they're not really paying attention to their so-called leaders. And when you hear one individual saying that there is no hope to save America because it's all gone downhill too far, then chances are that's not the only individual thinking like that. And in my own circle, the people that I've listened to talk, I understand that he's not the only one. Just about every male that I have talked to in my journey through life here in my little circle of the world, they're on edge. They're shocked by some of the things that the youth are doing. They're shocked by the way that the youth are dressing. They're shocked by the language that's coming out of children's mouths. And society seems to be accepting of it. It's okay to run around and call your mom the B word and filthy things that otherwise, my generation, it was unheard of. My grandfather, my uncles, my father, my aunts would have come unglued had I ever disrespected my mother in such a manner. But I've heard it. I've heard it. And I'm not trying to say that my generation is any better than any future generation to come, but what I am saying is that things and times have changed. I was raised up in a family of love that, by my mom mostly, because she was a single parent for the most part. And she instilled in my soul or whatever, she instilled a large heart to care for people. And I saw injustices as a child. I saw things that offended me that, you know, I stood up against because I didn't think it was right. When I watched old movies about slavery, I was saddened because I couldn't picture why anybody would want to hurt any other human being, no matter what they looked like. So I think for the most part, my mom did an awesome job as raising me as a child. I think that, you know, I was able to hold on to those lessons of life. And even though there's many people out there that don't want to believe in a God or, you know, would mock the Christianity or whatever, I feel like sometimes in my mind I would better that even if there wasn't a God, that people believed in God, at least that they would try to follow by the Ten Commandments and not hurt each other, for Pete's sake. That at least they would try to follow some sort of morality, knowing that somewhere or another along the line, even after death, that they might be held accountable for the things that they do. But if you come to a society where everything's okay, it's okay to watch a child in a library dressed like a woman and doing provocative dances, it's okay. It's okay for a man to call a woman the B word on the air. On the radio. There was a time when that was unheard of. And there are individuals to this very day that you go listen to alternative networks other than the ones you're listening to right now, that these people, they are constantly effing this, effing that, ask this, ask that, bleep, bleep. I mean, constantly just pushing the limits. But it's all under the name of freedom. And they're also talking about, why don't we just go over and nuke them? You know? I don't believe that because somebody's a different color or a different race, that it automatically makes them a terrible person or a terrorist or all that kind of stuff. I think that you judge a man by his actions. But as a man, and as a man who had been raised in a different era than what I'm witnessing right now, and after hearing the things that were quite literally prophesied by Paul Harvey, I honestly believe that man must have been a prophet, because he just read the book like as if he watched it all through his own eyes. And now we live in this day and age, and we're seeing the things that would have normally been considered vulgar or rude, they're fine. They're okay. You go to watch a movie and children are sitting in the same movie theater while there's blood and guts and gores and arm blown off and you know, monsters eating brains or whatever, you know, just god-awful graphics that would churn your stomach. And they're being desensitized to violence. They're being desensitized to rape. They're being desensitized to murder. They're being desensitized to filthy language and God and guns and everything. There's got to come a time when the good people of the world have to stand up and say enough is enough. You guys have gone too far. you're crossing the line. Governments, Congress, the Senate, whatever, it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, on both sides of the fence, if you listen to the one podcast, they said they gave $1.2 billion or $1 million or whatever to the Democrat Party, and they gave $1.9 billion to the Republican Party, so both sides got paid by the same arm of the military-industrial complex, so that no matter which candidate got in, their deal was covered. They're going to vote our way because we're going to make sure that no matter who gets elected, we own each candidate. And the American people are going back their daily business like they always do, trying to take care of their families, struggling to buy food and clothing for their kids, and trying to get a decent education. Why the mother and the father are out working hard to trying to earn a living to try to keep up with all the bills that keep piling in, and the government is out there going amok and doing all the things that they are, and special interest groups and protests in all different directions, people fighting each other in the streets and the law enforcement and all that kind of stuff. If you are listening in and you're visualizing what I'm going on, and it's happening now somewhere in this world, is what we're being told by the mainstream media, the alternative media, one another. It said in Revelation there'd be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. My God, is that not what you're seeing before your very eyes? Now, I'm not here to fearmonger you. I'm not here to try to scare you. I'm here to hopefully somehow or another send a pebble out there of common sense that will start to resonate to the world and say, look, we got to stop this. Somehow, some way, we got to stop this. We can't be like the man in that podcast that said there is no hope. Because if there is no hope, then everybody better just bunker down. Everybody better just get ready. Provide for your family the best you possibly can. This is a planned event, people. This has been in the works ever since these people that are the military-industrial complex and the international bankers and all the movers and shakers at the top of the pyramid that you, the people, are actually holding up. You hold the weight of the entire system on your backs. When you step out of line, they whip you back into line. They threaten to take your homes for taxes. They threaten to take your freedoms. They threaten to take your livelihood. They do this all while expecting you to be carrying around the label on your chest of a proud patriot. I love my country, but not because of the reasons that you might think. I love my country because I love the people in it. And I know that even though the deception has gone rampant and deep for years, maybe even way before I was born, that the evils of this world have pushed man after man, took our children and put them in foreign lands to fight with your children. There's got to come a time when wisdom has to reign supreme. Sometime, some way, when common sense has to come back to this world. Because if all hope is lost and we are truly to go down that journey together, it's not just America that's going to lose. It's the world that's going to lose. The world lost, according to that one podcast, 60,000 American soldiers. Britain lost 60,000 American soldiers. Russia lost 60,000 American soldiers. China lost 60,000 American soldiers. But above and beyond all of that, the world lost 60,000 souls. 60,000 men that could have done something positive for this world. That's just America, folks. That ain't counting the other side of the fence, the so-called enemy. That ain't counting the other nations, the other so-called partners or allies. Every time we lose so much as one person, society as a whole pays a terrible price. And as our children are raised up in today's society and they're watching this and they're becoming numb to the violence, some are even excited by it. You watch videos of soldiers that go out there and they laugh while they're shooting a machine gun at other humans across the field. It's unheard of. In my heart, it's like, I just can't understand. Now, some say there ain't no devil. But by God, if there isn't no devil, there's definitely some sort of evil going on. Because I can't visualize why it is that throughout the entirety of humanity, the harder you try to do something good, the harder the dark side comes down on your soul. When you're out there speaking with your friends and they're glorifying war, I don't even know what to tell you to say. Outside of reminding them, what if that was your child? That the government said they were drafted, they gotta go. What Barbara said about the people that had to go home after the funeral and the little token of appreciation that they received, a cross or a flag that was folded up in a triangle. I can't tell you how many of them I've actually held in my hand. And I can't tell you how sad that is to hold one of those in your hand. To know that there's a life no longer because this flag is standing there. It's in my hand. And it means something. It means something to the patriot. It means something to the family. But what good is that flag done for that man that's in that box getting ready to go 6 feet under the ground? Is that flag going to feed that family? Are the governments going to stand behind that family because we took away your father? We're going to be there for you. Are they going to comfort that mother? Are they going to be there when that mother can't afford food? Are they going to help that mother provide for those children? And we wonder why there's so many broken families in the world. This is by design. They're going to drain your spirit. They're going to drain your soul. They're going to drain your individuality. They're going to drain your common sense. They're going to drain your bank account. And they're going to ship you off to war. The only people that have a snowball's chance in Hades to stop this is we the people. That supposed proud document that we call the United States Constitution that some people quite literally want to wipe their backsides with. That's supposedly the only thing that stands between us and the tyrannical government that wants to kill our family. They can do whatever they want to us as if we're their cattle. You think slavery ended? No, ladies and gentlemen, it's just begun. Because if these other criminals get a hold of this government and they're able to do what it is that they want to do to America, we're not going to have the opportunity to defend ourselves against the tyrannical government. And those who try, they got places for. We're not going to be able to speak out. These mainstream medias that spew lies and propaganda constantly should be taken off air. Their antennas should be taken down and they should be financially destroyed for the damage that they have done to this nation and this world. it's not just America that suffers when the mainstream media tells the lies and propaganda they do. They get patriots, they get men like myself, who was raised up to believe in God and country, and we gotta protect our families to go over there and do god-awful things to other people's children. And to me, they should be held accountable. The mainstream media outlets that sit there and lie and try to pit people against the President of the United States, they should be held accountable. Because if you can't trust the man in charge, if you can't trust the President of the United States, if you can't trust your senator, your congressman, the only thing left is you, the patriot, the man, the actual man of America that people want to erase the manlihood of, the patriotism of, that want to silence the voice of the American man. You're going to find an anger so dark and so deep the day that that comes, that the hell on earth that will be unleashed the day the Second Civil War begins here in the United States of America will resonate across this globe like you would never want to believe. By God, I pray to everything that is my God that that never occurs, because the First Civil War was fought by very few people and they had muskets. You look at the hardware we got now, and you think long and hard if you want your child on the other end of that damn gun. I can't take this anymore, Barbara.
Hey, brother. Well, I know this is a rough one. You know, I feel your heart and your passion for people. And that's the most important thing. You know, I know you have your story. Everybody has their story. Everybody has their experience, their personal experience. And, you know, I think that, yes, men, young men are, you know, taken, I'm going to say abducted into the service according to what is needed by the millionaires and the elite. And, you know, they like cull the young people, and you are indoctrinated into believing that you are doing something good for your country, because that's how you were brought up, to be a patriot, to stand strong, to go to war for your country. You know, we were told that. I mean, you know, that's what the whole story is, that we are better than everybody else and we're the keepers of the whole world and everybody has to abide by our rule and so on. And when you go there innocently, you're an innocent young person, an innocent young man, today women too, innocent, and you believed and you followed what you were told to do, and perhaps you stepped into situations that you know, when you come back home and you're trying to get your life together, you reflect upon those things. They call it sometimes PTSD, you know, that affect the people who go to war, who see horrors, who participate in horrors. You know, it's like what does a person do with that, you know? I mean, it's a deep wound upon the spirit of a person, and the soul of a person, you know? And I see that, you know, I see that across the board, I'm sure. It's like everywhere. Every young man, every young person who goes to war for their elite rulers and controllers are innocent. And then they participate in things that are something they would never ever dream of doing, but inside themselves, well, they're patriots. They're following the rules. They're following what they were told to do, what their ancestors told them to do, what the elite, the authorities told them to do. Now, how do you deal with that when you come back home and you start to wake up? When you start to wake up and you say, wait a second, wow, what happened to me? What did I do in the name of a lie? Because that's what it is. What did I do for those persons who don't really care for me, my family, and all these other children? Now, that's a heavy thing to have to deal with, Shaziz, you know?
Yep.
It really is. And,
there's some,
you know,
things, there's some things that you just will never rebound from. Once you cross certain lines in your life, you can never take that back. It's like some people talk about when that once that bullet leaves the gun, you can't change your mind. You know, it's too late. You've done obligated yourself to you, what you just did, and there's some people that just cannot handle that when they realize what it was that they just did under the guise of patriotism, that they went against everything that they believed in. That's why I say that if people believe in God, and then suddenly they're off in war, and they know that God doesn't approve of killing, thou shalt not kill was one of the commandments.
Well, you know, this country is, you know, that's a part of the foundation, but to me that's a part of the lie. You know, the first ones who came here to Turtle Island carried the book, I'm sorry to say. They carried the book, the black robes. And even the pilgrims, they came.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Barbara. I get it. I understand that there were terrible things done under that book. But what I'm saying is in somebody's mind to try to justify that, you know, what they done or what they didn't do. I was raised around the Bible.
How can you justify that? I mean, you're in your heart and your whole being. You believe in something greater, and our system tells us, you know, a lot of lies, but to me, a creator, great spirit, which I pray to in our tradition, and creator, great spirit, Wankantanka, something far greater, something omniscient, something awesome that created this earth, created the Mother Earth, and even a human being is, to me, a miracle. And when you are connected to that and attached to that, and then you're told by the authorities to go over there and slaughter people or do horrible things, I mean, how does a human being deal with that when you come back and you realize I was lied to? I'm just a piece of, you know, whatever's for those people, those authorities that I trusted and that I believed in. I mean, this is the wound. You see, this is what I talk about here when I say there's a wound here, and not only in the hearts and minds, but the spirit and soul of people, of humanity all over the world, but it's upon the Mother Earth,
yep.
This energy, this frequency, this sorrow. And now you have the young people. I want to go back to what you were talking about, these young people who are piercing their bodies, you know. It's like we have, there's a circumstance called piercing or self-mutilation. Why do people do that, self-mutilate? Well, this is a psychological issue for a lot of people. Something happened to them where they have no sensitivity, no feeling. They're disconnected, they're disassociated, and a lot of these young people start what they call self-mutilation or cutting. You know, it's not a trend, like you're saying, this is a trend now where people are piercing and hanging from hooks and stuff like that. But it's similar. It is similar. So we have generations that are numb, that have been numbed and disconnected and dissociated, but always within a human being is a truth. The truth, the wisdom, the knowledge.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What happens when your generation and my generation are gone and people forget that there ever was a time when things like that weren't acceptable?
Well, that's slowly and incrementally part of the plan. This is what I'm saying. So the young people today are hanging from hooks or piercing or body changes or whatever they're doing. It's an emotional, spiritual act. It's almost like trying to connect with a truth that they feel inside themselves, but outside they're looking and it's a nightmare. It's almost like a person tearing their hair out, right? It's like the expression of tearing your hair out or pummeling yourself because you're in despair. I'm talking about a despair is happening on the land. A despair of our young people. Think about the young people. They innately have a sense of something is so wrong. Their world, there's something that is so wrong, but they cannot identify it, but they are in despair. They are despairing. So it's like a person who doesn't know what to do, that what they are experiencing is so beyond them that they start pulling their hair out. Hair out in rage and hair out in sorrow, or pummeling themselves, or punching something, or or running away and screaming and jumping off cliffs or bridges because they're in such despair. To me, it's sort of like inside all human beings lies the truth that is trying to free itself. But when you are immersed in a lie, when you are immersed in an environment where it appears that everything is hopeless and that you are helpless, because you're told you're helpless. These young people feel helpless. What are they going to do? So they start pummeling themselves, tearing their hair out, piercing themselves, hanging from hooks. It's sort of like, to me, it's such despair these children are trying to get a message across.
My God, I get that. I get that with all I am. I'm not to that level where I want to hang myself from no fish hooks or look like I fell face first into a tackle box.
Well, you're a little bit more mature. You're a little wiser. You've been on the planet longer than these young people. These young people, think of when they started. When they started to come in, the level and the depth of the insanity that they have met here on this planet right now, you see, these young people. You know, I mean, the thing we have to be very careful of is judgments, of course, judgments upon these children. I mean, I remember, well, you remember the 60s, the love, you know, whatever, the love fest and all that. It was the young people who were fighting against the system, the authorities, with love.
Yep.
And boy, they took care of that fast, didn't they? Remember the Kent State violence? That's the authorities. Send out the troops, the young men who live here on this land, to shoot the children of the serfs, just the common people who are out there on that college protesting the Vietnam War. I'll never forget that. Nothing ever happened about that. That was quickly shut up. But that was to tell the people, you know what? You better shut up or we'll just shoot your children right here on Turtle Island, on this land of the great USA. And, you know, so it's like I've always said, you know, this whole push, make America great again. And I say, you know, America, I'm sorry, was founded on genocide, slavery, colonization, which brings murder and violence. And that's what this country was founded on. And it was never great for many.
Well, I get that.
Many, and even today, it remains in that way.
I get that.
And the people have been trained, well-trained, and brainwashed to believe the authorities, okay, that they are superior, that this is their land, and nobody was even here before them who came. And they came here through the Bible, through that book, given the rights to destroy, murder, and violate anyone who was not a Christian. I mean, this is an imprint, an energetic imprint upon this land and the hearts and minds and souls of the people, even whether they know it or not. So I'm just saying about these children, you see, the children who are acting out. Well, people call it acting out. These kids, they're acting out. They're crazy, you know, piercing themselves or doing this or whatever, drugging. And we have, you know, a wave of sorrow and despair, you know. And what do people do when they're in sorrow and despair? You know, they self-destruct on some level. So I see this generation here as either they're turning to the technology because it is an escape, and the technology was given to them deliberately to escape so that they are not aware and awake and they don't wake up. Brainwashing. And the other part of the young people's society, they're piercing themselves or hanging themselves from hooks, you know, trying to feel something or express themselves. They're outraged, their rage against the system. That's self-destructing behavior, because everything is so hopeless. People jump off of bridges because they believe everything is hopeless. Well, these kids are doing the same thing.
Yep.
So I'm saying that I have said this before. I have a great hope and a great faith. I don't feel hopeless, and I don't feel helpless. I know we have a job to do. I know it's not easy. I'm not stupid and I'm not ignorant to say, well, this is a breeze. Because no, it's not a breeze. But I feel that we are in the most extraordinary, powerful spiritual battle against the dark and the light, between the dark and the light, evil, that we have ever been before. And it has been building towards this, because you have the dark, you have the evil ramping up to basically control the whole system and take everybody down into just, we want to call it artificial intelligence, you know, bots. I don't care what you want to call it. The plan is to basically eliminate people who have a spirit, awakened spirit, to eliminate people who are free thinkers, eliminate people who have their own mind, who have critical thinking. Those that are remaining left, you know, would have that, would have the ability to discern, to have critical thinking, to stand up in the light and know the truth. You know, those of us that are remaining, it's being ramped up upon us, because there are many, many, many who have already been manipulated and lost, and we see that. That's a great sorrow.
They put two saviors on the table in the last two elections. He started off with Obama promising hope and change, and the world, he's going to make the world a better place. He's going to save the planet, you know. And back then, all the rhetoric from both sides of the fence and all the warning flags of this man isn't here to save America or whatever, they basically went unheard. We were called conspiracy theorists for saying, you know, the things that we said back then. If you go back and listen to old podcasts, you'll know our side of the view. We didn't try to hide anything.
Well, why are we the problem? You see, this is what people have to use their critical thinking, which, of course, is down the tubes for most. But this is what needs to be brought back, is our ability to think critically and to weigh and balance and discern truth from lie. So why are people who are like ourselves and other alternative media who are speaking about the truth of things, why are they the bad guys? Why are they called nutcases and wackadoodles?
Well, they want to shut us up. They want to shut us down. If you can see it on Facebook, Twitter.
Well,
YouTube.
I know that, but I'm saying the people who are listening to those authorities who say, yeah, those people are wackadoodles, they're not even... They don't have the ability to think critically and say, well, let me look at what these alternative people are actually saying. What's the big problem here? Yeah. What are the authorities screaming about that these people are crazy? They're conspiracy. Conspiracy is a bad word. Oh, my God, conspiracy. You know, so, but they've done this deliberately. We know that. But I'm talking about the people, the ordinary people out there, who are trying to determine or deciding, or they don't even realize they need to make a determination or a discern something. They just listen, like, and accept and allow themselves to be manipulated to say, oh yeah, those people over there, they're conspiracy theorists. And they're the bad guys, but they don't even go in and look at what are these people saying? What is Shaziz talking about? You know, what is Patty talking about? What are these other people talking about? You know, what is Barbara Three Crow talking about? What is she? What's so bad about her saying, you know, we need help, or we, you know, we need not to go to war. We need not to send our children to war. We're being poisoned, you know, on many levels. No, they're not interested. That's how seriously gone they are. And that's a deliberate. That was done deliberately, incrementally. So I say, therefore, but the grace of God go I. You know, we've all been subjected to this brainwashing through generations, our parents and so on. Well, how did we break free? What happened? You know, I mean, I'm nobody special. I'm not putting myself above anyone else. I mean, the people that I see who are so lost, they are suffering. The people who have been brainwashed, just like my people were brainwashed, okay, and I was nearly brainwashed. I mean, I broke free, thankfully. Conspiracy. Conspiracy is a bad word. Oh, my God, conspiracy. You know, so, but they've done this deliberately. We know that, but I'm talking about the people.
It's doggone technology again. Sorry about the
Well, that was interesting. I'm just saying, I love all the people. Even the people who, and I've seen these people who are spewing out hate-mongering against the President of the United States and other people. I've seen those people. I've seen those people's eyes. I've seen them, the good things they're doing in their families, taking care of animals and helping the neighbors and reaching out and saying, we need to love each other. And then on the other hand, they're spewing out this most vile stuff, saying we should, you know, kill this president or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's like, you know, it's conundrum here about where people are stuck. And and they're spewing out, you know, these hate things, and on the other hand, they'll send out, we all need to be together, we all need to love each other. So they're confused, you see, but the mainstream media is really working us over here big time, and I think the mainstream media will be gone after a time. I think that the mainstream media will be, right now, they don't know where to go, what to do. I think the whole system, guess what, is going to be changing. We are heading for a very big shift, not only humanity's shift, but the political shift. We see it happening. Something big is really happening here. There is a plan, and I think the plan in part is falling right into place. People are following the plan, and they don't even know it. And it's this is the place where I think people aren't using their critical thinking. And I'm going to say there's not going to be anyone that's going to come and save us and make it all better. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they're saying, Trump or this one or that. I don't care who it is. No one is going to come and save we the people, because we the people will still be under a rule, a millionaire's rule or billionaire's rule, with the government and with the political people and with the corporate, you know, with the corporate bullies. So we the people are the ones who need to come together. We need to step up to the plate. We need to come together, okay, and stop following their rule, guidance, and intimidations and fear tactics that we're gonna, you know, the world is coming to an end, you know.
I agree. And if our voices ever go silent, and we, the so-called tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists, if our voices ever go silent, then there's nobody else questioning the system. Nobody. And then when everything, if they actually got what they wish, that all conservative views would be silenced forever, no more talking on mainstream or alternative or social media networks or anything like that. If they ever got exactly what they think that they want at this point in the game, there's no balance anymore. There's no check and balance, to the extent where if I hear a government leader say something that I don't agree with, I have no remedy. I have no way that I can speak out against said government, because I've been silenced. I've been suppressed. And when that happens, whatever happens, happens. Whatever the government decides is what you will comply with, regardless of what your own personal beliefs are. Do you think that if communism ever took over, that if the person that was the communist was a hardcore, let's just say, attack my belief, hardcore Christian communist dictator, and suddenly you're gay in his world and you are no longer acceptable? Do you think that you've got a redress of grievance between you and your government? That's not how communism works. That's not how democracy basically has been explained by two wolves talking to a sheep and trying to decide what's for dinner. That's it.
Well, I think that people actually still today believe that one political party is different from the other, and that if their political party would be elected, everything would be all right, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's just not, because they're one and the same. They're millionaires. They're billionaires. Yeah. They got the money. They got the money, and the money is the key piece. The greed is what is running the country and the world. So people have to wake up to the fact that the political arena is basically all the same. It doesn't matter who's president. Nothing has changed in this country very much for the common people. They're just still getting more money, and they're still going to war. We've been in war, I don't know, for whenever. I can't even imagine. But if you don't think we're at war just because it hasn't been declared in New York Times as a big headline, we have been in war. Our children are going over there in other countries, killing people and being killed themselves.
Yep. They shot Martin Luther King when he spoke out. They shot JFK when he spoke out. They shot many other people in history that when they spoke out against it, and when that one particular individual in that podcast says that Trump was tampering, you know, with their money, you know, God forbid if anybody ever, if that was ever the case with Trump, because for a fact, I'm positive beyond a shadow of a doubt that that would definitely, without a doubt, spark off a second civil war here in the United States, which I pray to God that never happens. But people have to, they have to get on top of their game right
well,
now.
Well, that's the whole plan, I'm going to tell you, is they want the people fighting and killing each other here so that they can bring out martial law. But I have a feeling that martial law is we are verging into that. I mean, just recently, an episode occurred with Roger Stone, who was sleeping with his wife in their family home, and the agents came in all dressed like they were going to war.
Came in with guns,
camouflage, all kinds of things to break into his house, arrest him, handcuff him for nothing. I mean, the man was going to be brought in. He said if they had contacted his lawyer, same thing with General Flynn. See, they did this to General Flynn too. If they had told him and told General Flynn through their lawyers that he needed to appear in court, he would have, he said. But this is all a show. And guess what? Who was there early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning?
CNN.
CNN, mainstream media CNN, was told to join the party because we need this put out to the public. The hate mongers, the liars need to put this out. That Roger Stone, who they are, you know, want to prove was colluded with this and colluded with that, WikiLeaks and Assange and blah, 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 when none of that is true. They cannot prove it. But what they're doing, you see, this is a police state. Those tactics do not happen in the United States, but they are happening in the United States, and people need to wake up to that.
Mainstream media has been sitting here telling us over and over again about FBI directors lying to Congress, about Hillary lying to Congress, and all these different other actors on the supposed opposite side of the bird there, so to speak, you know, left wing, right wing, whatever. But the average Joe is getting angry because it's the wrong people are being arrested. Maybe it's the right people on both sides, but one side ain't getting arrested for the same supposed crime of lying to Congress. They're not getting arrested. They're lying to the FBI. They're not getting arrested. And so the average Joe, the average guy like myself, is getting frustrated to the extent where, you know, what's going to be enough? When is enough enough? When does the American man finally get to the point where he say, look, I'm done. I'm done being nice about this thing. We tried to go through the system. We're going to give them one last opportunity to step down, and we're going to exercise our rights under the Constitution to get rid of this tyrannical mess that has been created. But in that process, there's no turning back, folks. There's absolutely no turning back. You want to talk about the shot heard around the world? That would be the day. And I'm fearful of that day. I'm scared for America. I'm scared for the world in general. I'm scared for the people, because if you watch any of the protests, whether it be the yellow vest over there, or, you know, the supposed social justice warriors over here, and all these different protests going on, they're getting more violent every single time. They're smashing their own communities. They're hitting each other with sticks. They're hurting one another. They're getting arrested. The military-industrial complex is gearing up for the planned event that the day that they can actually declare martial law and you don't have a choice anymore. You need to understand what it means to be under martial law, under military rule. You need to understand what that means. It means you got a curfew. As a full-grown adult, you have a curfew. You don't go out when you choose to go out. You go out when the government says it's all right for you to go out. You meet at checkpoints. Whenever you want to travel from one city to the next, you get inspected. You get checked. Your papers. Everything. We're not talking about a free America anymore when we're talking about being under martial law. And when it comes down to that, there are patriots that are already geared up, ready to go, to come against said government that would do that to the people. And are we sitting here on a loaded powder keg waiting for the savior, Donald Trump, to resolve all this and Q behind the scenes giving all the moral support saying we got a plan and we're going to fix it? Well, if that plan fails and they don't fix it and the American man is backed against the wall and you're going to come between him and his family, there's a saying in my family about, mama bear and the baby bear. Hell hath no fury like a mama bear protecting her child. And hell hath no fury like an American man who had been trained to be a patriot and a killer all his life because he had to protect the so-called freedoms and be the military-industrial complex's soldier out there on the battlefield in some other nation. You think that an old man such as myself couldn't reach down inside and find a darkness? And I'm afraid of that darkness. My God, the things that they taught me, the things that they showed me, the things that I know that I would be capable of in that kind of scenario, I'm afraid of myself. And I'm just one man. Imagine all those other men who are chronically paranoid because of the things and events that they had witnessed in wartime, the things that they might have personally done themselves, coming completely unglued. Imagine the doggone people out there in the gangs right now. Gangs that had snuck across the border or sleeper cells from supposed terrorist organizations. We supposedly have this free border. Everybody can just come across. There's a party going on in the United States. Join the party. And you're putting all these different ideologies and all these other beliefs into one pot. And you're stirring that pot. You got the so-called black Israelites out there agitating the so-called Make America Great kids of the college, and they're sitting there saying foul things to these people and calling them crackers and all this kind of craziness. You got the other group over there doing their thing, and everybody's butting heads with each other. And the mainstream media up there stirring the pot towards their agenda. And their agenda isn't your agenda. Their agenda isn't the truth agenda. Their agenda is the military-industrial complex way of thinking, because that is what puts money in the pockets of the media, the bankers, the machine that is the corporations that actually build the war machines that you're going to send your children to utilize in a battlefield in some other land. We are being played, each and every one of us, as we the people are being played. And when it comes down to it, push come to shove, standing between the government and my child, you tell me, if you're a man in Ireland or Australia, anywhere in this world, you tell me, would you be as patient? Would you stand idly by and say, the government knows best? Or would you stand and you take arms up against such tyranny to defend your life, your home, and your country? You tell me, do you want to be intellectually honest? You tell me the God's honest truth. What would you do in my shoes? I don't want to see that for you. I don't want to see that for me. I keep talking here on this Knights of the Round Table about peace and paving the stones into our children and our children's children's future to infinity and beyond to make this world a better place. And I know that because we stand here at this crossroads in life where we have access to this amazing tool that we call the internet with all this information, that we have the knowledge and the capability to resolve all the so-called issues of the world. But we can't do it while your face is in the iPhone. We can't do it while your seat is on the couch. We can't do it while you're out there protesting one another. We can't do it while you're actually playing into the game and fighting each other. We can't do it if your heart is blackened to the truth. If your heart is cold, and you think it's all right to hurt another individual because you think that that is going to bring you justice, then you're falling right into the plan. Am I just crazy, Barbara? I mean...
Well, I guess I'm a bit crazy myself. I don't know if she's is. Gaz wants you to mention Scotland, so I don't know.
Scotland?
Yeah,
what,
I guess...
What would you do? What would you do, Scotland? I'm reaching out to every man.
Well, the same thing's happening there. The point is, we happen to just be focusing on the good old USA of today here, but it's happening everywhere. It's not just here. So we're talking in general, to everyone knows this Scotland, Grizz said.
Well,
no advertisement necessary. I think we have to be a little crazy in a good expression, you know, because you feel kind of crazy, or you feel like you're losing your mind, but you have to be careful of that. But I think that's part of what they want. They want everybody to lose their mind, and they're pitting everyone against each other throughout the world, not just here in the U.S., you know. The things that they're arresting people for, or claiming so-and-so did so-and-so, whatever. We have a 2-year investigation on the Russian collusion. I guess you have about maybe 12 or 13. I don't know how many people have been indicted for this, that, and the other thing, but still nothing on the Russian collusion. And they're not going to find anything. Mark my word, they are not going to find anything, but they are desperate to find something. They're desperate, 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 okay?
Well, they've been at it for 2 years or more now.
Well, that's it, and millions of dollars, 2 years, and Mueller has a history. I mean, all these people have a history of being involved in certain things that are not really good. They're not cool, folks, but they're trying their best to get to the top echelon here and prove a Russian collusion. So they arrested Stone because they said Stone... lied to the whatevers and was involved with covered up stuff in regards to Assange. But that's not true, because everything that Assange said he was going to put out and everything was open to all public. There was nothing hidden there. But they're just trying their best, basically, to disrupt things and control things and put people against each other. And that's happening, and the people, it's up to the people. Now, I do see, and you see it, we all see people, there is awakening happening, and I think when you awaken, you begin to see that you have been manipulated, that your people for generations have been lied to, and you have to be very careful when someone steps up to the plate and says, but wait, I have the answer. I can fix this. I have somebody who can fix this. Follow me. There is a plan. Trust the plan. You have to be very careful, because you're going to fall right back into somebody else's plan for you and your people. We have to stop that pattern, because those people are claiming authority. I'm the authority. I have somebody that's going to save us and make it all better. This is where we have to be very careful, because we've been living for generations under that same statement. Yeah. Somebody I know can fix this all and make everything better.
The Jericho series, it was the people who started the deal that rushed into to the rescue. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we're given all the answers, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we are given all the answers, and people think it's just a sci-fi or it's just a movie, and go on to the next movie, you know?
Yeah, but they seem to think the ends justify the means, and it's all right. It's a joke. It's an inside joke that all these supposed in-the-know people are privy to, but you and I aren't privy to them. You know? And that's why I put that plea out to all the men of the deal. I am asked posing the question. Everybody, Scotland, Ireland, Japan, China, you name it. Any country you can think about. I'm asking every single man on the planet, what would you do? You know, I understand there's good people all over this world. I understand that there's people that would rather have a barbecue together than fight with one another. And that's what we advocate, so that's probably why we're called crazy, Barbara.
You know, when you have your own government who sends out the troops to Kent State, and we cannot forget this because people have forgotten this, and there's many other stories like this. When you have the people, the African-American people, the black people, standing peacefully, marching peacefully, and the government, the military, sends soldiers, United States soldiers, or sheriffs, or police, or whatever, to beat those people with billy clubs, spray them with hoses, and throw them in jail, or haul them off somewhere where they're murdered and never seen again. When you have your own government doing these things against their own people, where are we heading now? Because this is, if we don't wake up and stop trusting in this military-industrial complex and our political millionaires, the authorities.
It didn't stop there because there's video out there of police officers walking along a crowd of people sitting down on the people's land. The government land isn't the government's. It's the people's land. But there's police officers walking down there because these people were told that they had to leave and they chose to defy said government. They had a big canister of pepper spray, and they went down there and they sprayed it in the faces of all these people right down the line. They sprayed
those were young people. They were on a college campus. I'll never forget that scene. I'll never forget the Kent scene, the murder scene. I'll never forget the black marchers. I'll never forget the hangings where people went with picnics. I'll never forget these things. These things are imprinted in my mind as a visual. I'll never forget. And that was just recent. I think it was a little over a year ago, maybe not even that long, where that officer walked along those young people sitting down in a row, peaceful protesting, which is our right, spraying them in the faces with pepper spray. You know, Two Dog says he'll never forget Kent State. And neither will I, Two Dog. And people have forgotten Kent State. This was our own government. Who in the Congress, in the Senate, in the Pentagon, told the soldiers to go there and do what they did against children at a school who had the right to protest this Vietnam War? Who did that? Where are they?
Yeah. And if their child was in that crowd, would they do the same?
No, of course not. Of course not. Just like they won't send their kids to war. They won't send their children to war. If they go into the military, they're in high positions. You know, leaders or whatever, you know, whatever. They aren't the grunts. They aren't up there in the front. I'm just saying, people, you have to wake up to what is going on and how we're being manipulated and where we're being led. Because we're all in this together. You know, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your politics are. I don't care what your religion is. We are just the people. We are still the serfs. They are the kings and queens. They have been in position forever, handed down through their generations to make sure they all keep the money hoarded in their own pockets. And that they're all safe.
Well, there definitely is a sleeping giant here in the United States of America. And it's, you know, a lot of people think about military people being the only ones with PTSD. What about the people who witness things like you just explained that, you know, these aren't normal things in their life? And how are you supposed to ever, you even said you could never get that out of your mind, what happened to those people. So, you think the only people in this world that ever suffer from war as far as post-traumatic stress syndrome are the soldiers on the battlefield? Because the people, quite literally on the battlefield, the kids are hanging themselves up by fish hooks, for Pete's sake. They're doing terrible things, cutting each other, or cutting themselves, or whatever, to try to find some sort of release from a world that makes no sense. Why would these children do these things to each other or themselves? Why would they want to constantly be under some influence of some sort of drug? It's not always just for pleasure, folks. Some folks try to mask the pain in their hearts and minds and their souls or spirits because they can't take what they're seeing before their very eyes. And when they're told that there's somebody else out there in the world suffering, that gives them some sort of thing to fight for. And so they get out there in the street, even if they're misguided, they get out there in the street and they do things. They no justice, no peace, and they're violating each other. They're violating their communities because they believe that their cause is just when in reality they were manipulated to get there. And then on the opposite side of the spectrum, the so-called conservative voter is being bombarded with all this violence and all this hatred and racist divide. And the man's being told he can no longer be a man. He can't speak to a woman or open the door for a woman anymore. He can't do the things that he was raised to believe in. And you wonder why. You wonder why that this society is the way that it is. We have allowed the military-industrial complex and the governments and the banking systems of this world to run amok. Doesn't matter which land you stand on, if you're a man right now, you probably got some frustration in your heart because of what the things that you see going on around you. You want to raise your family, you want to be a good provider. You want to be a good person. You want to be prosperous and succeed in life. Now, how can you do that when you got a system that is bad already, that reeks to every point of the four points of the compass, and then you got so-called brothers and sisters in the street trying to fight against you to try to solve the problem that everybody has told you that you got? Don't you understand that the reason why you hate that man is because you were told to hate that man? It just, oh, it's mind-blowing. It's so far beyond comprehension. When you finally reach some sort of level of wisdom in your life's journey, and I'm not saying I'm the smartest man on the world, but I obviously ain't the stupidest one either, because how could I sit here and try to see and say the things that I'm saying of common sense if I had absolutely no common sense? I'm not advocating that everybody go out there and go to war with their government. I'm advocating that you get up off the couch and put down the iPhone and you get involved and you go to your town council meetings. You go to your government get-togethers and you make your voice known. You sit down and you use the power of the spoken word, or you sit down and pick up a paper and a pen and you articulate out your concerns in the most respectful manner and you ship it off in the mail. And even if it gets caught in the stack of piles of papers a mile high from all the other men that are doing that, you don't stop until you get results. Because the last alternative that should have been for the United States military was to go to war with another nation. The very last option should have been to go to war.
Well, I think that there are presidents who have determined to go to war without the proper procedures. We know that.
That's it.
But there's a question from Gaz who says, is it only serving folks in armies that get PTSD?
No.
Do the families of serving militaries not also have a form of PTSD, unsure whether their child is going to come home in one piece or just come home?
That's it. It's a life-changing experience. It happens to the dishwasher at your local Perkins or your grocery store clerk or wherever your shopping center people. They're waiting for their family member to come home. Their husbands, their brothers, and suddenly their brothers or their husband come home not just in a box but with a story of what happened to them.
Or not a story, or they don't talk about
it.
But they're experiencing, that soldier, their son, husband, brother, is experiencing PTSD And it's affecting the family, absolutely. It affects the children, the grandchildren. It's a generational thing.
Yeah, and it's a constant nightmare.
It's just like with the indigenous people here on Turtle Island and other places. When their children, when the government took babies, and I'm talking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids away from their families and stuck them in these government schools, the torture those children experienced, if they did make it out alive, they had PTSD. They suffered for the rest of their lives, and the family suffered. Some of those children they never saw again. You talk about a PTSD in the hearts and minds and spirits of a people, of a nation, the indigenous people. The government did that. The government did that. The government has done that to their own people of color. Doesn't matter if you're a white person, if you're, not up there in the top echelon, one of the kings and queens' children, or you were a black child or whatever. That's what the government is doing to the children. So, yeah, PTSD.
Yeah.
And, you have veterans, as we all know, out on the street. Some of them even got Purple Hearts. And they are on the streets, and they are suffering.
Yeah.
In this country, and probably other countries, I don't know. But I do know in the indigenous way, when a soldier, a warrior comes home, I just saw this video. It was beautiful and brought tears to my eyes because there was a delegation of elders when this soldier was coming home back from Afghanistan, I think, just recently. He was at the airport, and the people met him, and the elders were there, and they put a war bonnet on his head and a sacred blanket around his shoulders to welcome him home, and they sang a warrior song for that young boy. All the people were there. Now, they will take that fellow or a young woman from the tribe, and they will pray with them. They will bring them into the sacred lodge, to the Inipi. They will heal him, purify him, talk to him, sing for him, pray for him, to release this disease, this sickness of his mind and his spirit for what happened to him. This is the process of the indigenous people. And that young person will have help, will have mentors, will be taken care of, will be, brought into the circle of their tribe. That doesn't happen the other way. Your young man comes home and he's got to get himself together, or a young woman comes home, he's suffering. He has memories, terrible memories, that keeps, overtaking him. And he has no choice, perhaps, to start drinking or to go to a drugging or to go out on the street because he can't be with his family because he's suffering PTSD, you see. So he's become violent, or he's become depressed, or he's become just unable to function. And he can't even get medical help half the time from veterans. Associations. We've seen so many stories like that. I will say that President Trump, right off the bat when he got as president, did set up an executive order. He eliminated people in the Veterans Administration's hospitals and so on. He got them out, threw them out, fired them who were not helping the vets. This was a good thing. Nobody ever heard about it. And mainstream media won't tell you about that. You people probably don't even know. If you want, you can Google it and find out what President Trump did for the veterans.
Well, he's done a lot of things as far as I'm concerned, but, hey, look, I don't know where we're going to go from here, honestly. I really don't. I'm seriously concerned about the future, the destiny, or whichever direction we're all heading. Not just here in America. I understand. We all, if you talk about any nation out there, you're going to find there's things in that nation that you're not going to approve with, things that happen. You don't always get the truth of everything. You get the story that they want you to know, period. And when your children are being raised up to believe in things that just aren't even, the one time they used to be science books, and they were real science books. You actually did experiments and stuff. Nowadays, it's not like that. And the things that they're taught in school, they're not taught things like the Constitution anymore. Why would they want you to know you had freedom if one day they want to take it away? And it may not be a case that they really seriously want to take their guns. They just want to put the threat out there that they will. or this party will get this party elected instead of that party. But either way, why would they want to take away your guns? If they want to depopulate, they want you to have those guns. They want you to buy them because you're making them money. So, on both sides of the fence, the story makes no sense. Why would they want to depopulate the people? Then you got less people working for you. Why would they want to get rid of guns? You know, if they want to get rid of you, it's, think about it.
Maybe there's this plan. I think that they don't want critically thinking people. They want people as slaves, and people are enslaving themselves by believing in the authorities. By not stepping out of the matrix, which is the technology that they're stuck in, which is, you know, glued to the TV or the internet or on the couch or believing in the authorities because their parents believed in the authorities. You know, I believed in the authorities, and I was like, I started very early when I was saying, you know, well, something doesn't feel right to me. I believe that we were the greatest country in the world because that's what I was told, when I was young, and I believed it. I thought we were, in a way, I guess I'd say we were superior because we were the good guys, you know. And then I started to really, feel like, wait a second, something feels wrong here to me, because why is this happening? Why is that happening if we are the good guys? And of course the lies about why we go to war, or the lies of we're the good guys and they're the bad guys because of communism and so on. After a while when you wake up, it's quite a stunning experience. And then you start to really get deep into the lies of what's been going on. You have to come to terms with the generations of beliefs that your own people had. It's a hard one, but it can be done. But the point is that I do have faith. I do have a great hope. I know the power of prayer. I have experienced miracles. I know that we are at a crucial point in time. I'm not stupid, you know, and I'm not wearing rose-colored glasses. I am a researcher, an investigator, and a spiritual leader and counselor in the tradition of the Lakota Nation. I carry a sacred pipe, Chinampa Wakan. I pray every day. I have sun danced. You know, I've sacrificed in many ways for the people. So I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in the power of the people. And I do think that there's a majority of people, a percentage of people that are awakening, that are coming around the, you know, guidance, information, their inner spirit soul is awakening them. And I have great faith and hope. I'm not saying it's going to be all peaches and cream, folks, because that would be rose-colored glasses. I'm saying that we have reached a point in time that is an extraordinary moment for humanity, and we are at a pinnacle point, a crucial point, to me, that is pretty awesome. We see prophecies unfolding. We see biblical prophecies. We see indigenous prophecies unfolding. But to me, and I've always felt this, because the prophecies are given us to determine and make the choices through our free will, which direction we want to go. The prophecy of the prophecy rock and with the Hopi people, that's what the prophecy rock is about. It shows you two paths. There's always two paths. The prophecy rock speaks of if we continue on this pathway, we will meet a terrible experience. We will have a third world war. We will have this happen. If we take the other path, it's written on the prophecy rock. Two choices. The prophecy giving us two choices. I feel that is what prophecy does. To me, prophecy is not written in stone unless we follow suit and continue to be blind and allow these prophecies to unfold the way we're being warned. But always prophecy brings us two choices, and it's written in the, you could see that, prophecy rock, the Hopi prophecy gives us two choices. One pathway will lead to peace and harmony and balance. The same thing with the prophecy of the thousand years of peace. This is where we are today. The choices that we make today will either keep us stuck in the fourth world of chaos and the nightmare we see coming, or lift us out of that mess into the thousand years of peace, which is a frequency. It's an enlightened state of humanity has the ability to become a whole and harmonized and in peace. remembering the original instructions that we were all given. So there's where we are. I have great hope and faith. And I think ultimately it is individual but collectively that we are making a difference. But for all that's coming that we don't even speak of, okay, the thing is to know the enemy, not to fear the enemy. This is key. We must know our enemy, but not fear the enemy, and to call upon the powers and the sources that is in our heart and what we know truly and believe in. So you must know your enemy, but you must not fear your enemy, because fear colors everything in a different manner.
Yeah.
Okay, fear, with fear you have no critical thinking. With fear, you basically are not a warrior, a spiritual warrior. Become pretty much lost.
Right.
So I think that we are spiritual warriors. The Rainbow Warrior prophecy is unfolding. The people are standing against this mad machine. I do feel that we are at a critical point. I'm not being ignorant. We are.
Yeah.
But I don't, but I have faith and trust. Because what we're talking about is in today's timeline. Now, I'm talking about a timeline. The timeline we are in, okay, humanity is at being asked to awaken and to align ourselves with a different frequency, with the frequency of peace, love, and compassion. That is the fifth world thousand years of peace frequency. You're not going to get there if you are in a frequency of the chaos, the fourth world of chaos, which is hatred, which is negativity, which is divisiveness and prejudice and all that, judgments and jealousies. Those are frequencies that we choose to align ourselves with or not.
Yep. Well, when I say I'm scared for America, it's not because I fear the enemy per se, but I fear the journey that we're heading towards. If we don't, as the people, if we don't find some sort of common sense and common ground and start paying attention to the players behind the scenes, there's somebody behind the scenes stirring the pot. We need to get to the bottom of it. We need to.
Well, regardless, you see, now Two Dog says we have neo-Nazis here. And I want to respond to that because you know what? Those types of people are everywhere. They're not just here. But so, what I'm saying is those types of people have been present, that mindset of a neo-Nazi or a hate monger, someone who has hate for others, someone who could be violence against others. We have had that from the beginning of time. They've had different names. Doesn't matter, neo-Nazi or, it does not matter. They have existed throughout time. And see, I feel that I'm not stupid and ignorant to know what's coming. I've done my research. And there are things I don't want to talk about, but I have great faith in Creator, Great Spirit. I know that power of that alignment and that connectedness, so I don't fear. See, I don't have that fear, what you're talking about. I have great faith, and that's what we have to keep remembering, the power of faith, the power of prayer. And that comes along with, of course, in our hands, the power of the people. There will be some who will be lost. That is true. And there will be some who are naysayers and will think I'm a wackadoodle and I don't care. I know my own experiences, and I know I have experienced miracles in times when my life was being nearly taken by evil, by dark, by hate. Okay, I have been in those places. So I feel that we must find that within ourselves, which is our innate nature, which is sacred, okay, which is a sacred being. I don't care who you are or what your religion is or anything, political preference, innately we are sacred beings and we have a source that we came from. And to me, that is the most powerful, and we have to align ourselves with that. That is a frequency, that is an energy. That's something loves creation. That's something, okay, I don't care what you call it, Great Spirit, Wankantanka, Takashula, God, Yahweh, is something, if you believe in this creation, created this beauty, this extraordinary creation. So that's something, okay, is not a hateful entity that wants to destroy this sacred creation, because it set up this creation out of love and joy.
Good morning, Barbara.
Oh, hey.
And Gary Gilbert is also in with us.
Uh-huh. Well, hi. Welcome. Welcome,
Gary.
I'm just going to step out for a bit. Welcome, you guys.
I hear it's a little cold up where you are there right now, Gary.
Well, the fire is frozen, so pretty freaking cold.
Minus 46. Are you serious, brother? I saw that.
Minus 49. It lets you know you're alive.
Boy, that's global warming for you, Gary. Huh. I'll tell you.
It is. I'm still waiting for global warming.
Well, I'm not going to tell you about Northern BC right now because you'll.
I don't care. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I'm walking around in a t-shirt.
Nobody cares.
It's January. It's pretty. I can't believe this.
It's pretty nasty down here. I started off this show today talking about that I was scared for America because the way that I see that this society's heading down the path and all the political back and forth and all the different division that's been stirred, I get the fact that this ain't something that's been, you know, done just overnight or, you know, that there have been times throughout history or whatever. But there's going to come a point in time when at least my generation of American men are finally going to just say enough's enough. And I fear that day, because if that day is to ever come, it's not going to be a second Civil War, anything like the first Civil War. It's not going to be, you know, there ain't going to be no winners in a second Civil War here in the United States. It's just not going to happen. There won't be what we know as United States anymore.
Hey, Mr. Chaz.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? I'll be that guy this morning. I'll start off right proper and just be that guy. Can I ask you a serious question?
Yeah.
Do you honestly believe there's enough men left in the West?
Yeah.
I don't see it. I see a lot of betas, a bunch of beta cucks running around. But I don't believe that the traditional American man that built the country, that did these things, I don't think enough exist. I just don't see it.
I think there's very few of them left, Gary.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. It won't be a civil war like people think. It will be a bloody massacre of everybody else and everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you...
When you think about it, you know, they've conditioned society to get ready for this particular point by absolutely attacking the toxic American male, man. I mean, we're under attack. If we be men, if we're men today, we're under attack.
That's what I'm saying. Just not sure there's enough left.
I don't know either, Gary, because I ask myself that same question in Canada every day. I mean, what's going on is so in front of our face right now that why aren't the Canadian men out there standing up? And I don't see it.
Let me tell you something from a personal perspective. And anybody that's ever put on that uniform will understand this. The idea of shooting a man in the face is a very hard prospect to take, but it's not a hard task to do. It's a hard personal prospect to take. Doing it while in the service of your country is one thing. Doing it because he's coming to steal your food is another. And the reality is, when you can't get enough men to stand up to do the right thing civilly, peacefully, you sure as hell aren't going to have enough men to stand up and take that stance for protection. It's just not going to happen.
Is that your dog darling in the background there?
It is.
I don't know how it is for the other multiple states that are in the United States, but I can tell you from the personal circles that I walk in, I know a few things about a few groups of individuals out there, and I've been around, and I've listened to everything that's been said, and I've seen some things, so I know for a fact that at least in my general vicinity, this is probably not the one place that they would want to start a second Civil War. I guarantee that, but nonetheless, it's a whole concept of, you know, every day you're being bombarded by the media, whether it be propaganda or whatever. There's always something about, you know, the the economy is going to crash and all the different crimes being committed by senators and congressmen and who's going to jail and who's not going to jail. The average Joe, that basically from my generation at least, that I talk to and I listen to, they're frustrated. They're aggravated as all get out. And, you know, they're tired. You know, there's some people out there that say there is no war on men. That, you know, you're a wimp if you think that there's a war on men. There is a war on men. There's a war on at least the generation that I come from that was raised to believe in certain values or whatever that, you know, were basically told about patriotism and everything else, to love their God, their country, and their family. And when I see things out there, I personally get frustrated. And I'm always out there preaching peace, hope, and love. I don't want violence. I don't want a second civil war. I don't want these things to, you know, go down the path where I can sit here and watch them unfold in my mind.
I agree with you, and I do the same thing. I try to preach that peaceful resolution, because it is possible if people would stop being so damn apathetic. The thing is the farther we go down this rabbit hole that we heading down in life, and it doesn't matter. Let me tell you, there's not much difference between Americans and Canadians when you get right down to the brass tacks. There's not.
Yeah.
The mentality is very much similar. The reality is people are getting frustrated, but the problem is when you try to deny that part of you, like this whole idea of, you know, getting rid of the toxic male, masculine, whatever, what you have is a bunch of pent-up rage and energy that once it's released, it goes even further than a common or a logical...
That's my point, exactly.
It go retarded.
Oh, what's your language? Gary,
My bad.
Excuse me, can you mute when you're not talking? There's heavy breathing going on.
Okay, so, yeah, I honestly get that, because the doggone built-up frustration, it's like the sleeping giant that everybody likes to talk about, the sleeping dragon, so to speak, you know. Right now, everybody's pretty much busy doing their job, and they're trusting in the fact that the government's going to finally get it right, or... You know, that there's going to be this savior come on the scene to, you know, get the America straightened out and all this kind of stuff there. But as time goes on, the longer we hear about the Hillary Clintons and all the different crimes and corruptions and conspiracies about 9/11, whether it is or isn't an inside job and all these different things, even the fact that the people spraying crud in the sky, never mind you look up and you see something ain't right, you see trees dying off and all this thing going on with the environment, you think that as the average Joe just sitting back absorbing all this stuff in, that there's some point you can stretch a rubber band only so far. You get that rubber band finally stretched to the point where it just can't take anymore. It's going to snap. And I see this in people that I talk to on a regular basis. They're on edge. If you or I would have done even a fraction of what they done, we would have been up under the jail so far we'd be speaking Chinese. Quite literally. And that's a fact.
You're right. But when you look at just the moment, just this moment right now, and you see a president, and whichever side he falls on is irrelevant at this point, all right? He has done some good things for America, but you see him being opposed by the very same people that are supposed to represent you. You see this stuff with Nancy Pelosi and him, you know, trying to resolve the shutdown and this and that, and the egos involved that just absolutely do not represent you on both sides. They just don't care about the average Joe. So yeah, when the average Joe gets frustrated, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think the outcome is that? You know, we're in an area or an age that you have so many divides. You've got those that believe in the power of prayer and spirituality. You've got those that are on the opposite end of the spectrum that believe in violence as a solution. And there's always, in any time in history, always been that middle ground. And it will come. The problem is, how much damage are we going to do to get there?
Yeah.
You know, I don't honestly give a flying pizza to, you like that, Barry? To the outcome overall for me. Like, I'm at the age now, like yourself, where we're not kids anymore. We've had our go at life, but we got, you know, some of us got kids, grandkids, and the future generations. We are screwing up for them. If people are just going to look at it from a human perspective, you know, we have to question what we're not doing. Not so much what we're doing, but what we're not doing right now. What are you going to say to your grandkid when he says, "Grandpa, why'd you let this happen?"
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of why we do these shows. Even though people think that, you know, talking about things and trying to find solutions and spread that word out there, you know, that so, at least somebody's talking about trying to fix it. I know it's a mess, and everybody keeps telling me that there's no way possible to fix it. Well, if I give up hope, and you give up hope, and we all give up hope, and we don't even make the attempt to do anything or say anything about it, you see what I'm trying to say here? It's going to come a point when all the voices of reason are silent because they finally gave up, that they're not going to say the words that need to be said when they need to be said, to tell those people out there, look, you're being played like a banjo. And it's your future kids that's going to go up there and support the military-industrial complex from whatever nation that you live in. They're the ones that's going to be taking the hits from the bullets on the opposite side, and they're the ones going to be dealing out the death to the other team as well. When are we going to stop?
It's our responsibility. So for all those people that are saying, well, we can't do anything, that's exactly why this is happening, because we can't do anything. Make a change. Decide to change and say, we can do something together. See, this is where I can really appreciate Barbara. She loves the idea of unification, and it's so important because it's so overlooked. But the problem is, we talk about unification, we just don't do it. Because we always, as kings and queens of rationalization, find a way or find a reason to say, well, it just can't happen. You can't trust anybody. Blah, 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 blah. All these things. But the reality is, if we just stood up, that table falls over.
That's right.
It's like I'm going to come in because I have something to say. I agree. There are many that will not have the capacity or the ability or the, I don't know what you want to call it, something to bring them together in unity. Because, yeah, first of all, they've been told over and over again, nothing is going to change, nothing will work. But, you know, it takes something within ourselves in order to wake up. Of course, many will not wake up. I think that's very clear. But there are many that are coming together in unity. So I think that to keep pushing the fact that, well, they're not going to come into unity, it's not going to happen, I tend not to go there because I've seen unity happening. I've seen people waking up. And I've also seen people who will remain asleep. That's for sure. I want to talk about this thing, this situation. Very concerning to me is what's happening. Not that it's nothing new, but men and women have been pitted against each other, and I feel that's an agenda. I think men, our brothers, and I say it's our brothers. You know, I'm a grandmother. I have grandsons, granddaughters, and I have two sons, and you know, and I have also a spiritual counselor and so on in our traditional way. I carry sacreds. I have seen the disparity and the divisiveness where men and women, from early age, boys are told certain things that they must be. Girls are told certain things that they must be and do and so on. So the nature of a human being, a boy, a girl, has been messed with for generations and generations, and so they're basically manipulated and brainwashed to disbelieve their own self, their own sacredness, and their own abilities, their own creativities, or their own inner nature to become what the authorities and the system wants them to become. And so, unknowingly, we as men and women have been pitted against each other through expectations. Well, as a woman, I grew up expecting that I would, you know, I was told, you know, get married, and this is what you must have somebody take care of you. you know, you find a man who is going to make money, who has the ability to take care of you. And I know that men have been, you know, not a man, but I can surmise certain things that men, maybe you guys can expound upon that. That men, you know, as young boys, you've been told how to grow up, what your responsibilities are going to be, and what you must do to basically become a good citizen or a man, and so on. And so you have men and women growing up with expectations of each other that have no sense of reality. They're way far from reality. So, and now we have this rage. Men and women carry rage toward each other. Because there's been a lot of unhappiness, a lot of mistrust, a lot of disappointments. And so I believe in that arena we are in trouble. And I've been told for over 30 years ago of a prophecy of the return of the sacred feminine, where women are going to be asked to lead the way, but not push men aside, but to stand with the men, to open our hearts to these men, our brothers, who have been wounded so severely, just like we were. But in order to come together in unity, as men and women, we must heal what we were, you know, what was put upon us that pitted us against each other. So women have a lot of rage. I see it against their brothers, against men, and men against women. And now this whole movement about, you know, Me Too, I think on some level it's opened a Pandora's box. And I think women need to be very careful, and I've spoken about this. Women must be very careful not to continue the hate and the rage toward the men, because they have been deeply harmed and deeply wounded as well. And we're not going to bring healing. We're not going to come into unity and move forward in this timeline unless we do that. So I'm concerned about the imprint, the brainwashing that women have had and what they're doing in this moment in time, you know. I just want to offer that. Maybe you guys have something on that to speak about.
Well, I don't know.
Exactly that. It's kind of what I was saying before, where when we repress these things, what we see with the Me Too, what we see with the women's movement, is that all that pent-up frustration and now being told, well, you are equal and this and that, they're some of them are overreaching. And they're going further because of that repressed rage that's causing more damage. And it's not that it isn't in many cases justified, because the way we've treated all through history, you know, women and children and our old elders have been pretty much abysmal. We just hadn't got that balance. And now that we're coming into an age where technology is kind of becoming part of that, we're finding that balance. And when you repress certain things, they come back in extremes. And that's what we're seeing right now. And that next stage, that thing that Shaz was talking about, if it came to violence, it will be the same thing if we don't curb it now in the peacetime.
Don't you think that what we see now is another part of the agenda with this gender identification issue?
Well, I think
I mean, it is all part of it. It's not somebody else. Sorry, one second. It is all part of a design, and it's that control design for a long time. They understand that they lost control when they allowed the internet to move. Technology has broken the way the internet broke down, because now we can speak to each other. They never wanted that. It was that one thing that stopped us from actually taking back our own control. We did it on small scales in communities. We did it in small regions, but we never did it on the to them.
I think you're gonna have to, you know, quiet your dog, because I can't hear what you're saying at all.
Well, folks, we're actually getting down to the wire on this show here, but it's a pretty important discussion that we've had today. I mean, I apologize sometimes for getting passionate, because I basically, as I was being raised up, I was told that, you know, you weren't a man if you cry. You know, men don't cry. I'm going to tell you something, though. The older you get, the larger your heart gets, and the more wisdom you come into your mind and your body, your spirit, whatever you want to believe it to be, the more you see that we're heading down a path that, you know, at some point, I believe there might be very well a point beyond no return where we can't never get it back. The fact, though, remains that the moment that bullet leaves the barrel of the gun, you don't have a choice anymore. And I'm hoping beyond all hope that, you know, even though I've heard many people say, there's nothing we can do about it, you know, we're just going to have to ride it out, you know, bunker down, gather up your weapons and get ready because it's coming. Look, in my book of faith that a lot of people despise, it says that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night, which tells me that, you know, I don't know the day I'm going to die. I don't know the day you're going to die. I don't know the day the world's going to end. But if I got any power in my words whatsoever to reach out to the people of the world and to try to inspire them with some sort of common sense or some sort of hope that will get them talking amongst each other or join the round table and have a discussion like we're doing right now, war should always be the very last resort. There should be a lot of really serious discussions going on before you decide to take that step into that realm. Because, like I said, this isn't just going to affect America. Things go awry here. And there's people out there that want things to go awry here. War is profitable. The system that we find ourselves under, they make a lot of money because of the things. They make a lot of money when you're sick. They make a lot of money when you're out there protesting and getting violent and tearing things up. There's money changing hands in every single direction. So the more drama, the more of the Jerry Springer show, so to speak, the more money the system makes. And there is a base of the pyramid. You, the people, are the base of the pyramid. I'm saying...
Barbara asked whether or not this was by design, and you just kind of out...
No, I did not ask that. I know it is by design. I said it is an agenda.
It's just absolutely agenda. Yeah. By design, yes. And the thing is, all these things that Shaz was just talking about take a long time to set up. A long time.
That's right.
And it's pretty definitive. It's they know what the outcome is, because guess what? I don't know if you guys know, but Bill Gates, for instance, everybody knows who Bill Gates is, right?
Yep.
Did you know that Bill Gates has one of the most technologically advanced homes on the planet?
Don't surprise me, no.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, and Bill Gates has some dirty laundry hanging out.
Did you also know that Bill Gates does not use Microsoft products in his house?
Don't surprise me, none.
Yeah, I do know that, actually, about Bill Gates.
So what does that tell you?
He doesn't allow his children to use these products.
That's right. And we don't live in the same world they do.
No, we don't.
So they design these things. These things are all designed for us. They just got to give us a little flick and we run with it. You know? And we perpetuate and throw more fuel on the fire and create the very problems we have. And the reality is the solutions are just as simple, folks. It really is.
Yeah.
It's come back to us. It always has. So... is this an agenda? Is this by design? Absolutely. And that's why we have such a hard time communicating today. We don't communicate. We text. We don't talk because you just might say something that might hurt my feeling. And I can't have that. So you're not going to be allowed to vocalize your thoughts just in case you might hurt my feeling. So it's killing that potential, which is so important to keep the peace, by shutting down and amplifying the negatives, the women versus man, the black versus white, the Christian versus Muslim, the rich versus poor, the smart versus stupid. All these things are amplified through literally every last thing we do today. It's being bombarded on all corners, on all aspects, and we suck it up. We just soak it in.
Well,
the few do break away, the Barbers, the Berries, the Shazes, that do break away and start to try to educate folks, you're not enough. That's the problem. I mean, we make a good impact on the local that we speak with.
That's why we're trying to... That's why we're trying desperately to form these round tables and to tell you, like when I kept talking about building a dream team, I'm not talking about coming over to my house and build a dream team. I'm talking about take your neighborhood and build a dream team in your neighborhood. Whenever it comes down to your local city councils or your villages or whatever, you personally need to get involved. You need to go there and listen to what they're saying. The rules and regulations that they pass after, you know, they have this meeting because you allowed them to be your representation, those are the rules and regulations you're going to have to live with. Stop calling the law on your neighbor and start trying to work with your neighbor to make your neighborhood better. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to send a wave of common sense out across the world when other communities look into your community and see how well that you're doing and how many problems that you've solved. We're not going to ever get the representation that we think we are from any government. And peace never came from the end of the barrel of any gun. So the only way that we're ever going to fix this is to get these people out there to try to inspire one another to do something. Period.
Shaz, how old are you?
53.
Mary?
I'm 64 years old, and this is the first time I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise in a show.
I know it's improper to ask a lady her age, Barbara, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
You're being politically incorrect?
I'm absolutely politically incorrect.
No, I don't care. I'm 76 years old, my dear.
Okay, so the reason why I ask this, for those that are listening, is this. From your three perspectives alone, you remember when you were just a kid, when you were just either, you know, under 20, under 15, under 10, your food used to come locally, right? Yeah. Chances are, it was your mom and your grandma that were... have a garden, and you would work the garden with them. Or if not, you would get from the guy down the road. We localized everything at one time. And we had control at that time. And we had pride at that time. And when they've done this by the agenda, what have they done? They've taken away that self-control and that self-pride, that self-reliance, which is now dependent upon their system. Otherwise, you starve, you go jobless, you go, you know, all these things. Why aren't we buying in Canada tomatoes from Mexico? I grow tomatoes. We can all grow tomatoes.
Well, why I'm going to jump in. I hear what you're saying about this, you know, but I'm going to say I don't agree with you in that it was the American dream. But the American dream was a big lie. It appeared like we were self-sufficient and so on. And, you know, yeah, we grew our own tomatoes, and people had egg farm right next door and milk down the road. You know, but ultimately, the American dream, to me, was a big lie, you know, because there was still the control. This whole system from the beginning was under their control, you know. It appeared like, but we were still going to war. My dad was in World War II, and so on, my grandfather and so on before that. I'm just saying the authorities have been in control. The American dream was a lie. It appeared like we were all self-sufficient. But, you know, I kind of don't believe so. I believe that this American dream initially was the lie. Everybody was still brainwashed to begin with because the brainwashing started with how this country was formed and what happened here and so on. But I hear what you're saying. In a way, you were right because we were on some level feeding ourselves, but then of course technology shifted, and now, like you're saying, yeah, why are we getting food from California and so on and so forth? And you're right, people need to become more self-sufficient for sure.
Well, that would definitely help, folks. We really got to go. It's like we're going to be a little bit over before we get done here. But look, today's show, it's been something. And the message that I'm hoping to get across to everybody is out there is no matter what somebody else is telling you, don't give up hope, period. Because we can't afford to lay down to evil. We can't afford to not try to pave a decent future for our children. I feel blessed to be able to have everything and be able to do what I've done through my life. You know, it's been a struggle. I'm not going to tell you any different. It's been a struggle. To get where I'm at, as far as the way that I think and the type of person I am, I've been down a hard road to get where I'm at. And I'd like to try to share some of that that journey with everybody so that you maybe you don't make the same doggone mistakes that I have. It's just that if you don't pay attention to history, you're doomed to repeat it, and I don't want to see this nation, or any other nation for that matter, repeat the atrocities of the past. We have a wonderful opportunity right now. We're standing at a crossroads with some amazing technology that if utilized properly, and this world, this amazing world that we live in, there shouldn't be any starvation or sickness and all that craziness. It's just a tiny bit of people out there who are in control of this whole thing, which is maddening to me because it's the average Joe who's actually the one that's out there working hard and making these countries what they are. It's your children that they send to war. It's never their children. It's never their agenda for you to be talking to one another or anything like that. So that's why they're trying to shut you up out here on these social media networks. That's why they're trying to lie and propagandize you on a regular basis. And that's why they're trying to attack the individual man from every single nation to take you away from the idea of a family being a good thing, or love of God and country or whatever. Don't buy into the lies, what I'm trying to say. But don't ever give up what is you, that individual that is you, that man or woman out there that believe that we can make the world a better place. Been told that everything's impossible. Been told that everything is beyond hope. And I refuse. I flat out refuse to buy into the system. I refuse to support the same doggone system. I'm cautious with where I put my dollar bill nowadays. If I have to use a dollar bill, I'm cautious where I put it. I don't want to support the ones that's out there hurting everybody. But it's getting to the point where no matter who you buy from, it's all the corporations, and you're supporting the beast, the same beast that's eating man, woman, and child alive. Bill Gates said that if they did a good job with vaccinations, they could depopulate the world. And I don't understand how a vaccination, which is supposed to help people, is going to be depopulating the world. And it ain't never their children that they're talking about depopulating. It's our children. There's got to come a time when you got to listen. You got to open your ears, you open your minds and your eyes and your hearts and walk through this world and see it for what it really is. I don't know how we got here where we're at today. Here in America, I know the stories. I know the atrocities, and it's not just this land, it's every land. I don't know how we got here, but I can tell you now that we are here, we got a choice which direction we're going to take it. We're either going to take it to the streets against one another, or we're going to stand in unity and we're going to make things right. We're going to take this knowledge that we have opportunity to get a hold of at this moment, and we're going to utilize it for a good, peaceful purpose to make this world better, or we're going to sit there as the beast quite literally eats us all alive. Now, that's the simple of it. I don't want you to be in fear. I want you to be in wisdom. I want you to be in peace, love, and hope. And that's the only thing that I got to give you. I can't come to your neighborhood and fix your problems. But I can show you there's an idea over here. There's an idea over there. There's a solution. There is a way to cure that disease. Or there's a way to fix this problem over here. I can help you from here to there troubleshoot everything. We have the opportunity to talk clear across international borders to one another. We can never let that go. We can never let these people take away the possibility for us to be able to resolve our issues between all races, religions, political ideologies, religious ideologies, or whichever, and come together for one common goal, not under some sort of one world banner, but under a one world idea that we do care for our children, and we do care for the future of this world. The land that we stand on, the animals that roam, and us as a human race, that we can make this thing better if we so choose to do so. I feel like our Creator gave us free will for a purpose. And we're either going to use it properly, or we're going to go out there and do what they've had us doing for years, and we're going to take each other down, one right after the other. We're going to destroy nation after nation. We're going to destroy our environment. The same life-giving water that we drink is going to be beyond all recognition. Everything that you think that you take for granted right now, your family, your peace, your love, your hope, your life, your homes, just down the toilet for nothing. It's going to take you getting up off the couch and actually getting involved. It's going to take everybody out there actually talking to somebody else. Be that seed planter like Patty and Barbara's always talking about. Go out there and plant a seed, a good seed. And if you can stand there long enough and help cultivate that seed to make this world better, well, then that's what we need to do. Because right now, we're the only generation talking about it. The other ones are doing terrible things to themselves and each other because they've lost hope. They've been told it's not possible. So with that said, it's time to go around the table. I think we lost Barry. He probably got frustrated because he couldn't get a word in edgewise. So, Barbara, you want to go first?
Oh, thank you. You know, I want to say that it would be good and wonderful if Barry come in sooner.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. I know maybe he can't, but I'm just suggesting that. I'm sorry he didn't get a chance to speak out. And I want to say that if I didn't have a belief inside of myself that I can make a difference as one person, then I might as well just get off this show and never show up.
You and me both, lady.
If I didn't believe that two of us together can make a difference, well, I'd never meet up with you. If I believed that it's all hopeless, that 5, 10, whatever percentage of people can't make a difference, then I'd just jump off a cliff. So, you see, I have this inside of me. I believe because I've been shown, you know, and given this information, basically. I don't talk through my hat. I ask always when I come on a show to my ancestors and to Creator to help me have good words, you know. And, of course, I always say, you know, I have my own ideas and perceptions and so on that I offer. I don't command or demand that anybody take what I say and run with it. I always say take what sings to your heart spirit, and hoping that there's something that I offer that may help. but because I have this inside of myself, knowing the power that we do have individually and collectively, because it is about frequency, because we are beings of energy and frequency, and everything around us consists of energy and frequency, and relates and connects according to the frequencies. So that's why I say, yes, one person can make a difference, a huge difference. Two people can make a difference as well, and more. I'm not saying without a certain percentage we're doomed. I don't ever say that because I don't believe that we're doomed. I believe that we can make a difference no matter how many there are of us, because what my heart is filled with is love and really compassion and trust and that faith in something grander than me, far greater than me. And I'm going to just align myself with that. And I give it over to Great Spirit Creator. Everything I feel is ultimately between all of us and our Creator. I can't tell you what to do. I can only suggest or give ideas. I can't command that you wake up. That's between you and your Creator. I'm just here doing my thing, and I feel and truly believe that what I'm doing may make a difference. It has a repercussion. It has that wave of energy that is put out. It may touch some. Some may open to it. Some may receive it in a good way and follow suit. Some others may not. That's not for me to say. So I'm just happy to be here, and it's really good always to come in and hear other people's perspectives and share. I think we all really ultimately want the same thing.
I think you're right.
Doksha.
I think you're right. And I don't know what the power is that inspires me to get on here constantly and try to, you know, plead to the world for, you know, bringing these solutions to the table and actually enacting them, making the world better. But it's way above and beyond any explanation I've got, because you can see from today's show, at the beginning of the show, I'm pretty doggone upset. I'm pretty frustrated because I'm concerned enough that I feel an urgency that we got to do something. And I don't think that come from my simple paranoia as a person that, you know, all the things I've seen in my life. I tell people, honestly, I have seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. And I don't wish that upon my worst enemy to see the things that I see. I don't wish anybody to ever have to go through that kind of stuff. And so whenever I see things like that in my mind, I gotta speak out. There's a lot of craziness going on. We got to do something, and it's only going to be we the people that's ever going to get it accomplished, because it's obvious that the track record of the so-called elitist of the world, or the hierarchy of the representation that we supposedly chose, their track record stinks. We're still at war. We've been at war. We're going to continue to keep on going to war as long as we keep on allowing it to be. That's it. So with that said, Gary, you got any last words of wisdom before we get up out of here?
Well, I think if I had to come up with some words of wisdom before we get up on out of here, I would have to just say, reach out to people, communicate. Do that one thing that they're trying so hard to stop us from doing, and talk to people. And motivate people to use their voice to share with you exactly what they're thinking and feeling and what they want, and build off of that. You know, that's like I said, do what Barbara and Shaz and Barry is doing here. Do the same thing with people in your life. That's what's going to plant that seed for folks that things could be possible. Get that hope back. You know. There was that movie, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
One of the most famous lines from that sticks with me and so many people, I'm sure. You know, that whole get busy living or get busy dying thing.
Yeah.
You know, Barbara said if she didn't have these hopes inside of her, she would just jump off a bridge, you know. And really, that's what it comes down to. It really does. If you love the people around you, if you love your family and humanity, if you love these things, you need to get busy living. Stop worrying about all this other horse stuff.
Yep.
Stop worrying about all these other external problems. Just don't participate.
Yeah.
It really is that simple. Just don't participate.
Well, with that said, Scotty Sovereign typed a message in there under the deal. Let me scroll back up to it because there's been a few messages between there. Scotty Sovereign said the solution is simple. The implementation of the solution is the difficult part. Peaceful, non-compliant, stay at home, no protests, no demos, sit back and relax for a few days or so. That would send a message, no arrests, no fines, no injuries, no jail time, system grinds to a halt. When you stop
just
playing their game.
Don't participate.
That's right. When you stop playing their game, they said the taxes were what you call voluntary. Yeah.
Everything is voluntary.
Yeah, everything's voluntary. But until people start to understand that you have certain, as far as I'm concerned, God-given rights and certain inalienable rights, until you start understanding how important you are as an individual, no important than the next guy, but just as important as the other guy. When you start realizing that, and you start realizing the true power of your spoken word and your actions, and basically being a lighthouse and living by example, you'll find this world getting better. One positive pebble at a time. Folks, we gotta go. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you've been inspired by today's show enough to maybe you share the message with somebody else out there. If there's just a section that you like, cut and paste it, do whatever you want. Just take all the good pieces that you can find and share them to everybody that you think needs to hear a good message, because we're not giving up. I'm going to be here next Saturday on the Mad Science. I'm going to be here next Sunday on the Knights of the Round Table. I might be happy, I might be sad, I might be frustrated, but whatever it is, we're going to work through it together. Barbara talked about if she didn't have no hope, she'd jump off the bridge, and I think sometimes Barbara's the one that keeps me off the side of the bridge. You know, and Gary that shows up here is words of wisdom. And Barry, you know, I'm sorry, Barry, you missed out on your words of say.
What is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in back cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more than table. So many times we give and rise, but our quite something able. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.